Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore breakup over now. Let's just pretend we've already printed those issues of Us Weekly and people read them and thrown them away. And while we're at it, let's also pretend we've already heard Joe Lieberman drop out. New rule. In an all-volunteer army, there can be no such thing as a conscientious objector. Marine Stephen Funk says he shouldn't have to go to Iraq because he just joined the Marines to, quote, learn new things and meet new people. That's like joining the Beach Boys and then announcing you're not going to play that stupid surf music. We need Saddam Hussein's head. Stop talking about his DNA. Nobody made a movie called Bring Me the DNA of Alfredo Garcia. Traumatized Iraqis need to see the head on a pole in the center of Baghdad, or as it's now called, the Galleria at Halliburton Square.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. The Senate says Saddam and Al-Qaeda were not working together before the war. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The bipartisan committee report says that contrary to what President Bush and Vice President Cheney claimed at the time, there was never any connection between Saddam Hussein and the terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi or anyone else in Al-Qaeda, that Iraq didn't train terrorists, didn't help or harbor them. Democrats say this shows the administration deceived Americans about Iraq's link to the 9/11 terrorists and continues to do so. Republicans say it just shows there was a tragic failure in intelligence.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The administration calls the report old news. Spokesman Tony Snow contends many lawmakers from both parties saw the same evidence the president had before the war. But the report does raise new questions about constant administration claims of a pre-war connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq.
Truck bomb in Kabul, Afghanistan. Regional expert Jerry Van Dyke says it was a Taliban suicide bomber who managed to get through the security.
You just cannot walk down there. You just cannot easily take a car down there. It's very, very much patrolled. It's a very secure area, and they're able to penetrate this area in the heart of the city shows how successful they, unfortunately, can be in the urban area, and particularly in the capital of the country.
16 people were killed, including two U.S. soldiers. A senior Colombian drug cartel trafficker was busted in Mexico City and promptly shipped out to New York City's federal lockup. Jaime Maya Duran was arrested after U.S. agents gave Mexican authorities a tip in Mexico City. The dragnet for an alleged cop killer has thrown a cordon around a chunk of woods along the New York-Pennsylvania border. New York State Police Superintendent Wayne Bennett.
The area that we're looking for him in does not have an extensive amount of territory between roads, which he would have to cross to get out of it. We have those roads covered, and the police officers are within eyesight of each other.
Ralph Phillips escaped from jail in June in Chautauqua County, New York. He's allegedly killed one cop, critically wounded two more, and said he would splatter pig meat all over the county. That's a quote. The FDA is fining the Red Cross $4.2 million for failing to do proper screening interviews and for breaking some of its own safety protocols. At the same time, the FDA says the blood supply is safe and people should still go to the Red Cross to donate. Not the day to head to Bermuda. The weather service there has put out a hurricane watch for the island because of Tropical Storm Florence. 50-mile-an-hour winds expected to strengthen overnight, still hundreds of miles south and slightly west of Bermuda. The women's final, by the way, set for the U.S. Open. Justine Henin-Hardin will face Maria Sharapova, who dispatched number one-ranked Emily Maresmo in three sets this afternoon. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 61 points to close at 11,392. The Nasdaq picked up 10.5 points, and oil prices 66.25. Quarter a barrel down $1.07. This is CBS News.
You playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're in insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosiram right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosiram is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, see our ad in Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Could have become another media frenzy. It was a closed-door meeting. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger overheard on a live mic saying how Latin women are so hot.
Anyone out there that feels offended by those comments, I just want to say I'm sorry. I apologize, because that was not the intention.
The woman about whom he spoke, State Assemblywoman Bonnie Garcia.
I am not mad that he recognizes that I am passionate about the issues, and I am not mad that he allows me to tell him exactly what I think and what's on the minds of people in my community. So again, there is no need to apologize.
In fact, Garcia often refers to herself as a hot-blooded Latina. In Pierre, South Dakota, Cody Holy Elk Face wanted a beer very badly, so police say he picked up a boulder, threw it through the window of the liquor store, and walked out with a case of beer. Call it a beer bash. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Sunday, Safeway.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
So this is quite a lineup, and to find out more, go to the website and click on Enid Live. So that's what's happening next week. We'll start the week off, and Monday is September 11th, reminding us that Osama bin Laden is still at large. Well, you know, he's getting a manicure. He's turned into a metrosexual, I think. He's getting a manicure. He's getting a pedicure. Who knows what he's doing? I want to, there are a lot of things that we've been talking about that sometimes we're ahead of the curve, sometimes we're not. Let's go right to the gubernatorial campaign. Let's go right to Phil Angelides. Let's go to the fact that, and we talked about this on Wednesday, that the Prison Guards Union has decided to endorse Phil. Okay, we knew about that. We talked about that. We've discussed it. But here's what's new in the story, and it sort of goes along with what's been happening here. I screamed because I wasn't on the, and I didn't scream. I did scream, but I didn't scream. I mean, if you're running a campaign for governor of the state of California, you put everybody on your media blast list. The only thing that you're wasting is nothing. Because you're not even wasting postage. You're not even wasting paper. It's just make the widest possible list you can, because maybe somebody in the media can use something that you're sending them and you can get some publicity out of it. And particularly if you're a campaign that's cash strapped, you want to do that. Well, here we are, probably the most logical radio station in town or media outlet in town to be, or in one of the very few in the whole state that you would expect to be on a liberal candidate's blast list. And we weren't getting anything. So I screamed about it. One of you called in. I think you notified the campaign, and then we were on the list. Well, we're not on it anymore. I tell you this as preface, because if the list is not as complete as it should be, it means that the campaign is not as together as it ought to be. And part of the criticism of Phil has been that he appears to be, or has appeared to be, missing in action for these after the bruising primary with Steve Wesley. You know, I'm asking, were there health issues? You know, other people of a more conspiratorial bent wonder if he's been paid to take a dive. I mean, you know, everybody's got a theory. But my thought was, since it was very clear that the media operation wasn't together, as opposed to Arnold's media operation, they've got a rapid response team. They've got somebody manning their media operation from, I think, 4 o'clock in the morning Pacific to midnight Pacific. So that means that at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's 7 o'clock. This is when some newsrooms are really starting to come alive for the day's news and so on. So, and they've got a rapid response. Yeah, I mean, they are really on it, is what I'm trying to say. Okay. All of that as background to the most recent endorsement for Phil coming from the Prison Guards Union, which we've already talked about. But here is the telling paragraph in the San Francisco Chronicle's report of the endorsement by the Prison Guard Unions. Angelides, this is from the San Francisco Chronicle, Phil Angelides received the union's endorsement at its annual convention in Reno, reports the San Francisco Chronicle. But his campaign did not widely distribute a press release announcing the endorsement. They only sent it out to reporters who asked for it. Angelides spoke at the convention, but his campaign did not tell the media he would be there. What do you make of that? So he gets the endorsement of the Prison Guard Union, but they don't distribute a press release to the press announcing that. They don't distribute anything from the press announcing that, unless you as a reporter have asked for it. And his campaign did not even tell reporters that Angelides would be at the union's annual convention in Reno. Well, if this is a Prison Guards Union, how come they're having a convention in Reno? Isn't that in Nevada? Just a thought. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So that paragraph immediately caught my attention. Because those of you from the Angelides campaign, how come it was such a big secret that he got the Prison Guards endorsement? I mean, well, why isn't the campaign trying to get as much mileage, as much ink as possible by widely distributing press releases, to the broadcast media? How is it that they're not on it? Believe me, if Arnold had gotten that endorsement, everybody in the universe would have received press releases about it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Is it a sign that this campaign is not very together? is my question. Dan Walters is talking about why Arnold decided to veto Sheila Kuehl's amendment or Sheila Kuehl's legislation that would have, you know, the LGBT kind of a, where you couldn't say anything bad about anybody. Sure, for LGBT Californians was apparently one of the names of the groups. Anyway, why did Arnold, in a sort of, well, we all were taken by surprise, so for us it was a surprise veto. Why did he do it? Because, Dan Walters writes, because as much as the anti-gay rights side knows that were he to lose to Democratic challenger Phil Angelides, if Arnold lost to Angelides, the full gay rights agenda would be quickly enacted. So in other words, if you are for gay rights, you know that Phil is probably going to be your person. So pro-gay right blocks are likely to already be committed to Angelides. So what Dan Walters is saying is that Arnold had nothing to lose by vetoing any legislation that's pro-gay rights or pro-LGBT issues or pro-anything that Sheila Kuehl is doing. He, in other words, Dan Walters says he hasn't got anything to lose by vetoing it. And according to the polling, since only 4% of Californians amazingly cited health care as an issue, by vetoing the universal single-payer system, Dan Walters theorizes that Arnold doesn't have much downside in that veto either. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. David in Sac, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, David.
Hey, now. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. You were asking Phil Angelides and an organizer or whatever not sending out the press releases with regard to winning the vote of the prison guards.
Yes.
You know, the correctional officers were real tied with Gray Davis and vice versa, and that's part of what brought him down. So maybe they would appreciate the votes, but you're kind of embarrassed with the affiliation.
Well, you know, it's not that it's ever going to stay under wraps.
Not that it's what?
It's not going to stay under wraps. It was widely reported. So it's not like by not sending out a press release, nobody was ever going to know about it. Everybody is going to know about it, and they might as well capitalize on it. They might as well spin it. They might as well spin it in a way that will help the campaign.
Yep. Added up any other law enforcement or government employee agencies or unions or whatever who endorsed him, and then you stack them all up together.
Yeah, they could have done something with it. If he was embarrassed by the endorsement, and I don't know that he is. He's happy to have, they have up to $10 million to spend on the candidates that they want to support. So how much of that, they haven't said how much they're going to commit to Phil, but anyway, I see what you're saying, David, and I thank you for saying it. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. In the PR battle for the arena, the game is on. Both sides have lined up all the people who are for and against. Some of these people are being paid. Some of them are not. The people supporting the arena include Sandy Smalley, Matt Mahood, president and CEO of the Sacramento Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Pat Fong Kushida, president and chief exec officer, Sacramento Asian Pacific Chamber of Commerce, and David Taylor, a developer. The group opposing the arena, QNR, includes State Assemblyman Dave Jones, Democrat, Sacramento, Sacramento City Councilman Steve Cohn, Sacramento City Unified School District Board Member Manny Hernandez, Sacramento City Unified School District Board Member Jerry Hausman, Sacramento Municipal Utility District Board Member Larry Carr. So, everybody, you know, they're having dueling press conferences, and the game is on. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Jeff in Placerville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Now, Dina, you know, in the last 6 months, the prison system has had some pretty bad publicity about their ill spending, the health care for the inmates, and just their general all-around care of what's going on with the monies in the system. So maybe they figured people would remember that, and that wouldn't be such a great endorsement for Angelides.
Okay, let's assume that you're right, Jeff. I mean, it's not like he's taking the money and the endorsement under cover of night. No one's ever going to know about it. It raises more questions to be at the convention, to accept the endorsement. The endorsement's going to be made public. And you might as well trumpet it and spin it the way that you want to instead of doing nothing about it.
Well, he could be right there. And then the other thing is, too, is I don't know why they would go and spend taxpayers' monies and go have their convention in Nevada. I think that they, you know, that the Ramada or somewhere here would do well.
You want to have your convention at the Ramada? I wouldn't want to have my prom at the Ramada, Jeff.
Anywhere.
Huh?
I mean, why not spend money in California?
Well, that was my question. They're the California Prison Guards Correctional Peace Officers Association. How come they're having it in Reno? Is it because you can gamble in Reno? Is it because there's prostitution that's legal in Reno? I don't know, Jeff. These are questions that we need to find out.
No, but I say it's a fitting place for a politician. That'd be in a brothel.
Thank you. 349-1320-866-626-1320. If any of you who are girls who are working in these legal brothels and you want to call in, you don't have to use your real name, and tell us what politicians are coming in the door. Oh, slip of the tongue. Coming out the door. Coming once they get into the door. We would love to hear from you. It's a free phone call, 349-1320. I was worked on a radio station that the signal was so big that you could hear it in Reno. And we did have the legal girls call in, the legal whores, the legal prostitutes. Prostitutes, I think, is, I don't know what their official name is. They probably have legal consulting sexual engineers is maybe what they call themselves. I don't know. Consulting adults. I'm trying to create a good title. Because, you know, politicians are kind of whorey, aren't they, a lot of times? Okay. Well, speaking of which, we got to get there. We just have to, well, okay, all right, I'm going to get there in 1 second. I got to, you know what Arnold said today. Arnold's in the soup. Arnold's had to apologize. And I'm going to get there in 1 second, but before I get there, I guess I have to tell you that there was it was either page one or page three of today's B, and here is Deep Doolittle. And, you know, isn't he, Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle look like, they look rather porky to me, because they are always on the lookout for distributing pork. Looks like they've ingested a fair amount of it, and I know that we know that they put a lot of it into their own pockets. In any event, the story is that among his own people, Doolittle is above reproach. And I want to ask you this question. These districts have been so heavily gerrymandered that Doolittle's district is so heavily Republican that even with all this stink of corruption that he is enveloped in, even with all this, he could be reelected. Now, I gotta make this clear. I'm supporting Phil Angelides, although God knows I'm not sure he's supporting himself, but I'm supporting him. I feel like a truss today. These politicians have a trust fund. And here's Doolittle, and I am supporting his opponent, Charlie Brown, who would make a far better and more exemplary public servant than Deep Doolittle, who is corrupt. About whom there are huge questions, who seems to be, the cash register seems to be going off whenever he's done any kind of a favor for Jack Abramoff. In any other race, in any other district, he'd have been out long time ago, because there's just way too many questions about him and way too much stink of corruption about him. But in this heavily Republican, heavily gerrymandered to be Republican district, he has a shot, but then so does Charlie. And there are a lot of people who are Republicans for Charlie Brown. So those of you in the district, I'd love to hear from you on this one, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But here's what the B is saying. Despite the fact that Doolittle is completely hideous, among his own people, he's completely above reproach, the headline. They're going to go for him anyway. They just think he's wonderful. I don't get it. The governor is in the soup. He is in the sexual soup, sort of. And it has to do with comments that were caught on audio tape, candid comments of his that were caught on audio tape. And we will share those with you as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. And that sound earlier, man, I am not a dentist fan, so consider yourself happy and lucky that you're here on this fabulous Friday.
I'm very happy and lucky. Yeah. And happy and lucky to be with this great crew. We've got the Lisa. This is All Girl Radio on the Radio Ranch.
Go, Laura. and go Enid and Lisa West with the traffic. From and the weather from the left. Okay, so let's see. We do have humidity on, and through the next couple of days, going to be 53% to 65%. I know that we're going to be highs right around 89, 90, though, tomorrow. We are at 78 degrees, and we will have the traffic 99 southbound by Fruit Ridge Road. We have a three-car crash there. Westbound 50 just east of southbound Cap City Freeway. A vehicle's been stalled in the middle of the roadway and a three-car crash. Grantline Road and Douglas Road. Emergency vehicles are blocking lane. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live and local. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is for Lee Newman and...
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
You deserve. Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
9:28 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. I'm here surprisingly. Well, I'm sort of surprised that I'm here too, but I am. And I will be with you all next week as well. I thought I was going to have all this dental stuff done. I didn't know if I could, but I didn't have to have it done. Well, they couldn't do it, so it's a little complicated. So anyway, the good news is I'm here, and here it is. Arnold is in the soup again. Some of his candid comments were recorded on audio tape. Why an audio tape recorder is going, I'm not exactly sure. How it got into reporters' hands, I'm not exactly sure. The Los Angeles Times reported that Arnold described Republican legislators as, quote, the wild bunch. And here's where he got into the soup, and I'm just wondering what the big deal is about. And he referred to a Latina lawmaker that called her hot. And he called her hot because he casually says in the audio tape that black blood mixed with Latino blood equals hot, meaning, I guess, a fiery personality. But maybe that isn't what he meant. I mean, how do we know that he meant fiery personality and not just sexually hot? Anyway, the governor is heard on a six-minute recording, and it's a meeting with some members of his inner circle last spring. And at the time, Schwartzy was struggling to persuade Republican lawmakers to embrace his plan to place billions of dollars in borrowing on the November ballot. Nobody knows exactly why the session was taped. Apparently, Schwartzy records private meetings once in a while. So speechwriters in particular can keep a record of his thoughts and his cadence. The audio that the LA Times was able to obtain consists mainly of relaxed banter among Schwartzy and a few of his aides, and it offers an unusually candid look at his administration when the doors are closed. On the recording, Schwartzy's Democratic Chief of Staff, Susan Kennedy, says Assembly Republican Leader George Plesha of San Diego resembles a startled deer. That draws a chuckle from Schwartzy, who a moment earlier had referred to Plesha's predecessor, Assemblyman Kevin McCarthy, as Bakersfield Boy. I think we have some audio on this. Let's give it a whirl and see what I can deliver you and what Arnold Schwartzy had to say here. Well, we thought we had some audio, but I guess it's not. Maybe we'll be able to bring that up a little bit later. We're still working on it. We thought we had some audio for you on Schwartzy, but anyhow, we don't. I don't think so. I don't think that's what Arnold had to say. Anyway, that was what she had to say? Oh. On the recording, Schwartzy's Democratic Chief of Staff, Susan Kennedy, says, as I said earlier, that this Republican leader from San Diego resembles the starter deer. Kennedy, however, offers praise for Assemblywoman Bonnie Garcia, the lone Latina Republican in the legislature. The governor and Kennedy debate her ethnicity, and then Schwartzy opines that whether she is Cuban or Puerto Rican doesn't matter much. I mean, he says, they are all very hot. They have the, you know, part of the black blood in them and part of the Latino blood in them. That together makes it. Now, why the LA Times decided that hot in this context meant fiery temper and not sexually hot, I don't know. Because what they're reporting is that Susan Kennedy offers praise for the only Republican Latina in the legislature, Bonnie Garcia, and they debate her ethnicity, and the governor says, well, I mean, they're all very hot. They have the, you know, part of the black blood in them and part of the Latino blood in them that together makes it. So, is this an offensive statement, number one? First of all, I think he's talking about sexual heat and not fiery temperament. And number two, so now there's a lot of outrage. Are you outraged if you're black or if you're Hispanic as to what the governor said, or is he dealing in ethnic stereotypes, or what's the story? Today, Assemblymember Bonnie Garcia, the very one he was describing, appeared at a press conference and issued a statement defending insensitive language made by Schwartzy in taped remarks. She defended him, and he has already
She said, she told reporters that she was not offended by the governor's comments. And he has raised money, helped her to raise money. But would you be offended if the governor said those things about you? Should we all be offended on her behalf, even if she's not offended? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Aaron in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Oh, thank you ever so much for that comment. Well, here we are. A forum for everybody's opinions. So here we are, asking the question, was Schwarzenegger out of line to make these comments? Are these as offensive as people are portraying them to be? He is saying about this Republican legislator, the only Latina Republican, that she's hot. The LA Times interprets that to mean fiery temperament. It doesn't sound like it to me. It just means when you describe someone as hot, in the context that he did, it sounds like he means she's sexually hot. She's a hot-looking woman, whatever that means. And she says she's not at all offended by his comments. Were his comments, if you were black, if you were Hispanic, are you offended by his comments? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to the phones and to Dave in Sacramento. Hi, Dave. You're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, I don't think people should be offended by that.
It didn't sound too offensive to me. I mean, you know, he's in there with his friends, and he thinks this woman's a hot woman. And he's using some ethnic stereotyping, but I don't think it's offensive. But then no. I'm not black, and I'm not Hispanic, so.
Well, I don't know. So it's just
bottom, you know. Bottom line, he finds her hot.
Yeah, so what?
Well, she should take a number. Yeah. Thank you, Dave. 349-1320. Donna in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi. I was thinking, you know, if you're a woman and someone calls you hot, it would be okay. You know, it depends on the spirit of it. But if it was him, I'm thinking, you know, the groper, he's always looking at women. I don't know that I would be that enthused about it, nor if I were his wife would I be that enthused about it, because a man with his reputation, I think, has to work a little bit harder to not get into these places.
Well, let's go back. First of all, here's how she would rationalize it, that he's saying things, that he's not acting on what he's saying. That if he's a boobin grabber, that he's just being a bad boy, playfully grabbing women's boobs in elevators and wherever he can find them, or on the sets of English television shows. And so she could, I mean, there are a million ways I'm sure she rationalizes it away.
Well,
the question is,
rationalize it away. If the person has a good reputation, you can say to yourself, well, I probably misunderstood it. But when they don't have a good reputation, it's not as easy to say, well, I misunderstood.
Wait. But what is it that he's doing wrong? Is it that he shouldn't have called a woman hot?
Not in the workplace, no.
He should not? Well, but he wasn't in the, he was talking privately.
In the workplace.
Well, it is in his office. Can you never say this in your office? You can't call anybody hot in your office?
Well, the thing is, they went after Clinton for having sex in the workplace. Well, then the people
having a blowy in the workplace is not the same as saying somebody's hot in the workplace.
Oh, I know, but what I'm saying is you have to draw a line to what is and isn't appropriate in the workplace. If he was in the workplace, he shouldn't be making sexual references.
Well, the L.A. Times took it as not a sexual reference, and they refer to her fiery temperament. But I took it as he says she's hot, just like everybody else uses that term.
Well, yeah, but in the workplace nowadays, that's not acceptable. The line has drawn a lot further than it used to be, a lot further.
You can't say somebody's hot in the workplace?
I don't think so, not nowadays. Not where I work.
Where do you work?
At a major cellular carrier.
And if somebody comes in with a, you know, gets all dressed up, says you look hot, you're gonna get hauled off to the PC pokey for that?
You could, yeah.
You could, really, Donna?
Yeah, you're not supposed to talk about people in any way that can be construed as sexual or overtly too personal.
Oh, God. This is depressing. All right. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, the weather is pretty hot, I'm thinking it is today.
Uh-oh, you better not say that in the workplace, or we're going to have to haul you off to the PC Pokey.
Several of the drivers, though, on my way here were, I can tell you that. Highs, though, I believe I mentioned earlier 89, but you know, it's going to be a little hotter tomorrow, about 92. We are at 87 here in the River City, and our traffic is hot as well. West Bend I-80 and Madison Avenue, we have a vehicle in the roadway. Calvine Road at Kingsbridge, stopping traffic. Four cars, a big rig blocking the lane. Back with more Enid Live. We'll continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rosen. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Ha! Yeah, hello.
New rule. Skip the truck. President Bush is down on the ranch, and we all know what that means. Lots of pictures of him in that pickup truck, as if he's going into town to pick up a bale of hay. Okay, we get it. You're a rancher. You're clearing brush. You're a Washington outsider. You're a huge country fan. Unfortunately, that country is Saudi Arabia. New rule. When somebody dies, we shouldn't cut off their head and drill holes into it. Ted Williams belongs in the hall, not the fridge. Cryogenics is one of those technologies that just doesn't work, like the missile defense shield and hair transplants. New rule. It's just a donut. What is up with the Krispy Kreme phenomenon? It's a glob of deep-fried dough, not Super Bowl tickets. Aren't we Americans fat enough without pretending that donuts are hip?
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer eye for the straight guy? Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. To Enid at 349-1320.
I've already called several of the Latino leaders, and I've called already several of the African-American leaders, and it was very clear that all of them understood this was an off-the-record conversation, and it was not meant to be in any negative way. And they all said to me, we are not preoccupied with those kind of things. We are interested just in job creation, we are interested in education, we are interested in much bigger issues, not in those kind of issues. So I appreciated that very much, and I also made sure that Bonnie Garcia, I apologized to her if she got offended, but I mean, she and her joke about all this many, many times when she says, I'm a hot Latino, you know, I'm a blood is boiling, and you know, I'm passionate about things and so on. So we have been very good friends from the beginning, because as I said yesterday in one of the campaign stops for Bonnie at lunchtime, that she was there from the very beginning when I ran at the recall election, and when things got really tough, normally, you know, or sometimes people run the other way. This is a woman that when it got really tough in my campaign, she was by my side fighting for me.
I'm Enid Goldstein, and you heard it right from the Schwartz's mouth. He's sorry. He's so sorry. And in case anybody's hot about him calling Bonnie Garcia hot, he's apologizing all over the place. I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big Schwartz's fan, but is this really? Did he really commit a sin here? These were off the record comments that somehow the Los Angeles Times got a hold of. He says that he was describing Bonnie Garcia, the only Latina Republican legislator in California, as they were trying to figure out her ethnicity. Schwartz, he says that black blood mixed with Latino blood equals hot. So is that a slur? It sounds like a compliment to me. But now he had to apologize to everybody, and he's sorry, so sorry. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866, 620, 61320, and Bonnie Garcia said, and he said they were together at noon. So what would that be, a nooner? I don't know. Steve, in Citrus Heights, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Steve.
Oh, hello. Hi, Enid. Yes, this is the second time I've called, and I'm actually Republican, conservative, but I find your program very good. I enjoy it, and you seem to be a very reasonable person, and I appreciate that. Concerning the issue with Arnold, it depends on a lot of different things. If they have a good relationship and it's in his office, maybe that's okay. Sexual harassment has some pretty specific parameters, and she'd have to complain and all that. It might not have been the smartest thing to say, but I don't think he necessarily needs to apologize for it. I agree with you. It's maybe more of a compliment than anything else. And I think sometimes people get a little too thin-skinned, and when things are said like that, we try to use, like if we're on the Democratic side, you want to use it against the Republicans and vice versa. And sometimes I think it gets just a little bit. People get a little too thin-skinned, and
so you don't think you. So you think it's a lot of ado about nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
All right. I'm thinking about what if a legislator called. Can anybody envision Phil Angelides using that term? I don't think so. All right, Steve. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. Governor is speaking candidly. It's an audio tape about 6 minutes to his inner circle. And so what is he thinking about? Legislation? Not exactly. Public policy? I don't think so. Who's hot and who's not, apparently? Ann in Folsom, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, Enid. I have a comment on Arnold and hot.
Okay.
I don't think hot is a bad thing to say in the workplace or any other place. I think it's a common word that's used, and it's complimentary. However, when he links it up to black blood and Latina blood, I think that casts it in a little bit of a different light. What if he were to say, I think black women are really hot, and they'd be really especially good in bed because we all know how well they can dance and they've got rhythm?
Well, that would be very offensive. Well, so you're saying it's the same thing?
I'm saying it's close.
Okay, I can see what you're saying. So you're saying it buys into all these ethnic stereotyping?
Because of the ethnic. I mean, what does that mean? The Latino women have big boobs and the black women have big butts?
Well, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say Swedish women are hot. He does. He's. You know, I'm trying to think of the coolest.
I'm Irish, and I have a hot temper, but no man that's ever called me hot was referring to my temper.
Well, and I'm glad, Anne, that men have called you hot. This is a good thing.
Hey, Enid, I think Arnold would just be a whole lot smarter to keep his lips zipped and his pants zipped.
Well, we don't know the state of his pants, but we do know the state of his lips.
Well, maybe he should keep his hands in his pockets and zip his lip and his zipper. Anyway, then he wouldn't have to be talking himself out of all this stuff all the time.
Well, I don't think it's going to hurt him. Do you think this is going to hurt him?
No, nothing hurts him really, but like you said, I cannot imagine Phil Angelides saying such a thing.
Where is Phil been, and how come he's so missing in action? And even when he just got the prison guard's endorsement, there was no press release that Chronicle reported that went out unless reporters specifically asked for it, and they tried to really keep the whole thing quiet, even though it's a pretty public thing. What is that all about if you were theorizing?
I just don't understand it. By standing back and keeping such a low profile, even this comment by Arnold is going to get him more publicity. I don't get it. I'm for Phil.
If you were Phil, how would you hop on this comment? How would you get some juice out of it? Some funny. See, now here's what you need to do. You're running a campaign. You don't have as much money as your opponent. So what you rely on is ink. You're going to rely on publicity. You're going to rely on broadcasters picking up your comment. And if you can think of something really witty as a comeback, or some kind of a funny line, or get a sentence or two out of it, they'll put you on the, you know, his opponent said, if it's a really funny kicker line, they'll want to use it. So has the Phil campaign come up with anything?
Well, I think I'd come up with something like, I'm a politician who's hot to get things done. I'm a positive politician who's hot to get things done in the realm of politics and legislation.
Oh, what you're hot to do, what I'm hot to do is make life better for the state of California instead
Arnold
of blah, blah, blah. All right. Oh, that's
Arnold
good.
And I are not hot for the same thing.
Oh, there you go, Rand. You're getting closer and closer. I thank you very much for the call.
Okay, Enid, thank you. Bye.
Bye. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. What would you do if you were running Phil's campaign? How would you capitalize on what Arnold had to say when he got himself into the soup and use it and get at least a funny kicker line out of it that would be in all the newscasts that night, that would be in all the newspapers because it would be so juicy and irresistible. Everybody would run it, and you'd get some mileage from your missing an action campaign. What would you do if you were running Phil's campaign? I'm Enid Goldstein, and this is AM 1320. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have about lows tonight right around 69-70, highs for the next couple of days, maybe reaching 89-90-91. We're at 89 here in the River City, and our traffic southbound 99 is nice and slow. We do have a three-car crash on the right-hand side just beyond Fruit Ridge Road, northbound Cap City Freeway, just north of P Street, a vehicle actually blocking the freeway service onto there. Eastbound I-80 just east of Truxell Road, a three-car crash, no injuries there, thank goodness. And Calvine Road at Kings Bridge Drive, a three-car crash. Enid Live continues. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The future automotive.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut.
They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
3:55 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that we are here. Some of you love us, some of you don't. Even the ones who don't can't wait to get on the phone to tell us how much they hate us. We're talking about Schwartzy, our governor. Looks like he could be our governor for life if Phil doesn't kick himself into gear. And Schwartzy made these comments. If you are African-American, if you are Hispanic, what do you think about what Schwartzy had to say? He described one female legislator who is the lone Republican Latina legislator in the Capitol as being probably a mixture of black blood with Latino blood equals hot in his view. The Times is calling that a fiery, interpreting that to mean a fiery personality. I'm not interpreting it that way. He's apologized to everybody. What should Phil's campaign do to capitalize on it? And is what Arnold said really that offensive? Anne from Folsom thinks it's indulging in racial stereotyping. What do you think? Jason in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Jason.
Caller.
Great. Welcome.
I have to disagree with you about the whole PC thing. I'm completely for the PC thing because, like, what if somebody at work wanted to say, you know, you're a dirty Jew?
Well, that wouldn't...
He called you a stupid nigger.
Yeah. 349-1320-866-620-1320. Dave in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hi. I have a tagline for Phil. It's basically... He could say, luckily Arnold's never met my wife, otherwise we'd have to get a restraining order.
Well, what can Phil really say to jump on this and get some mileage out of it, to show you what Arnold's really thinking about? Instead of thinking about government in his office, this is what Arnold's really thinking about. I mean, there's got to be some juicy line that he can concoct that would be the kicker on everybody's story, on everybody's newscast.
Yeah.
Well,
he can go with the restraining order the other way, that my wife would probably kick his butt.
Okay. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. What would you? How can Phil use this, and how offensive is this? if you are African-American or if you're Hispanic. The legislator in question didn't seem to have a problem with it, but then she and Arnold are good buddies. I don't know how good, but good. Kevin in SAC, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
A Senate report revives the debate.
The Bush administration's case for war in Iraq is fundamentally misleading and deceptive.
Closing in on a dangerous fugitive.
He can run, but he won't hide.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. As recently as last month, President Bush claimed Saddam Hussein had ties to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the late leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq. But a report from the Senate Intelligence Committee, declassified today, contradicts such assertions.
The long-delayed and still incomplete report finds flatly that there was no evidence that Iraq ever trained al-Qaeda terrorists, offered them weapons, sheltered them, or cooperated with them in any way. Democratic Senate Leader Harry Reid says that is exactly the opposite of what President Bush and Vice President Cheney repeatedly told Congress and the public.
It's clear the administration knew or should have known it was misleading Americans' effort to make this case for a war in Iraq.
Republicans say none of this is new and it doesn't show anyone was lying, just that they were wrong. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. Spokesman Tony Snow brushes the report aside, labeling it old news.
All I can say is been there, done that.
The White House is working damage control on the report as President Bush steps up efforts to link the war on terror with the war in Iraq. But even the president concedes that selling the public on that link has been a challenge. Now this.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/getbonus or call 1-888-DISCOVER to learn more.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer Aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer Aspirin your simple wonder. Plus, enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com, and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
On the ground and in the air, hundreds of law enforcement officers in northeast Pennsylvania, just over the New York line, believe they're closing in on escaped convict and suspected cop killer Ralph Bucky Phillips.
They do believe that they have him confined to a wooded area.
They have a perimeter. They are pretty confident that Rasbucky Phillips has flipped today. They believe this is their best chance so far, and they're hoping that maybe today is the day that they'll finally be able to catch him.
WBEN Radio's Barbara Burns. Early today, New York State Police Superintendent Wayne Bennett says his officers were chasing Phillips through the woods.
The subject turned around with a pistol in his left hand. He pointed it at the trooper, and the trooper discharged his weapon.
It's not known whether Phillips was wounded. Since then, there have been two possible sightings. The American Red Cross, which provides nearly half the nation's blood supply, has been fined $4.2 million by the Food and Drug Administration for violating federal blood safety laws.
The Red Cross violations include the failure to ask donors appropriate screening questions and the failure to follow blood testing protocols. The FDA says nonetheless that the blood supply remains safe and tells patients in need of transfusions to follow the advice of their physicians.
CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein. The Red Cross says it's committed to full compliance. Former New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Pascal Imperato says we should feel good about this.
It is very reassuring that the American Red Cross has in place mechanisms to detect departures from their own procedures, and secondly, that the Food and Drug Administration is monitoring them and is observing those corrective actions.
The Red Cross will not use donated money to pay the fine. Instead, it will rely on operating funds, including revenue from the sale of blood products. At a House hearing in New York City today, the federal government and former EPA head Christy Whitman in particular took most of the heat for the health problems developed by workers at Ground Zero. Joseph Zadraga's son, James, a police officer, died in January of respiratory disease.
Government's got to be truthful to the people of this country. They have to be held accountable and go to jail. I believe they should go to jail. They murdered these people. They murdered my son.
Whitman says she repeatedly told city officials that workers should wear respirators. A former deputy mayor told the panel today that respirators were provided and the city repeatedly instructed workers to use them. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Sunday, a new tradition.
The Davis.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them. Artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
May I ask who you are?
Talk to Enid, 349-1320.
Minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to hour two of the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until seven. Oh, what am I doing here? Well, that's what I want to know. I was supposed to have some dental work done, and then they realized when they checked further that we couldn't go any farther. So we'll see what happens with that little saga as it unfolds. But meanwhile, so therefore, I am with you, and so that part I'm happy about. We have got a terrific lineup of guests next week, so let me share with you what we've got on 9/11. Which is Monday. Michael Isikoff from Newsweek magazine and David Korn will join us. Brand new book is called Hubris, it is to do with how the war was sold. The Iraq War was sold, and I think that would probably be, it'll be a good day to explore that subject. On Tuesday, Francine Prose is going to join us, and I once reviewed one of her books for the San Francisco Chronicle, and she has written a new book that I really like the sound of, because remember when we had Elaine Petrocelli on from Book Passage in Corte Madera, she gave us a list of books that she thought were really good, and these are the kinds of suggestions you're looking for, and particularly you get them from an independent bookseller like Elaine. Well, Francine has written this book called Reading Like a Writer, a guide for people who love books and for those who want to write them. And I think secretly a lot of us would like to write books, and many of us are still continuing in what is becoming a more quaint pursuit now, which is reading books. So she'll be joining us on Tuesday. Wednesday, Wayne Slater, who is a reporter for the Dallas Morning News, and James Moore have written a book about Karl Rove called Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. And Thursday, Nora Ephron, who has directed many Hollywood films and who has written many successful novels, and this is her first collection of essays in about 20 years, and it's called I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman, and it goes to number one on the bestseller list. And by the way, the Francine Prose book hits the New York Times bestseller list. We'll hit it after her appearance, but it's going to be on the list. And Monday, a week from this coming Monday, Edward P. Jones, who has won both the Pulitzer and the National Book Award, has a new book out called All Aunt Hager's Children. So this is the lineup. These are really a whole series of top writers and top guests. So this is what we've got cooking for next week. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And by the way, the lineup, the guest lineup for next week is on if you click on Enid Live, you can, you'll find that part of, you'll find the lineup, the schedule, on that part of on the webpage. What we've been talking about, what Arnold had to say, a candid moment caught on audio tape where he referred to a Latina, the lone Latina Republican legislator in California as hot. And, because she's a combination of black blood and Latino blood. And so we're talking about whether or not that's offensive to people. And I want to broaden the conversation, because this was about 6 minutes of audio tape that somehow wound up in the hands of the Los Angeles Times. I bring this up because one of the things that we talked about on Wednesday that you are now hearing a lot about reads almost like a thriller. And it has to do with Hewlett-Packard, one of the icon companies in Silicon Valley. And it has to do with the fact that a director at Hewlett-Packard was thought to be leaking information to the press. The chairwoman of the board of directors decided she had had enough, that it was undermining the company if this director was leaking. So she hired security consultants who, going through phone records, managed to find out which director it was who was leaking, and when Tom Perkins, who sits on the board, or did sit on the board of Hewlett-Packard, found out about it. And remember, Tom Perkins is a legendary venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. He was briefly married to romance novelist Danielle Steele. He himself has written a zingy romance a novel called Sex and the Single Zillionaire. When Tom Perkins, who knew both Hewlett and Packard and had worked at Hewlett-Packard in the early days, I think doing things like, you know, working on a lathe or something manual like that, when he heard that there were security consultants that were eavesdropping, not really eavesdropping, but data mining calls, he quit in disgust. The whole matter now has become public. Bill Lockyer, the attorney general, is investigating. It could be a criminal issue. And whether or not resignations are going to be demanded is another story. But it brings up the whole issue of listening in on people. And one of the things that this administration has been guilty of is surveillance. Well, it doesn't start and stop with the administration. There was a story in the New York Times, and the headline of the story is, I spy, doesn't everyone? Flip open your husband's cell phone and scroll down the log of calls received. Glance over your teenager's shoulder at his screen full of instant messages. Type in a girlfriend's password and rifle through her email. There was a time when unearthing someone's private thoughts and deeds required sliding a hand beneath a mattress, fishing out a diary, and hurriedly skimming its pages. The process was tactile, deliberate, and fraught with anxiety. Will I be caught? Is this ethical? What will it do to my relationship with my child or partner? But in a time now of digital technology, uncovering secrets is, well, I don't know, kind of a more antiseptic, painless process. If you listen to Len Tillum, which I love to do on Saturday afternoons, he's a lawyer, and people call in with, I used to live with so-and-so, I have the password of his computer, he's been cheating on me, even though we're not together, I still access his data, he doesn't know that I'm doing it. Is that illegal? And are you kidding? I think it's really illegal. But I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But what has happened is, with the advent of e-everything, it's a lot easier to spy on people, and a lot of people are doing it. Parents are kind of spying. There was a time when you would read the advice columns, and parents were never supposed to open their kids' mails. They were never supposed to read their kids' diaries. Well, now they're spying on their kids. Some of them install spyware or these programs that, you know, you don't know that your information is being accessed by other eyes, but it is. And if you're a parent, I guess you are able to do this for regarding your children. But this all comes up in the wake of now not only the national, the NSA surveillance of Americans, kind of data mining, but the way in which the information at Hewlett-Packard was gathered. These electronic consultants used a technique called pretexting. This, talk about spin. Talk about putting the best face on a word. Pretexting is really calling up the phone company and lying and saying that you are the person you're trying to spy on, saying that you're so-and-so and so-and-so, and giving out all the, and then you can access all this information. And that's how it's done. And apparently there are lots of companies online that do this. So the California Attorney General's investigation into the purloining of private phone records by agents of Hewlett-Packard has revealed that the monitoring effort began much earlier than previously indicated, and also, not only were they trying to find out which director was leaking to the press, they were monitoring various reporters. So the New York Times business reporter was being monitored in the same way. A reporter from Dow Jones, which would be the Wall Street Journal, was being monitored. A reporter from CNET. Well, all the places where stories about Hewlett-Packard that weren't authorized to be released, all of those reporters, all those media outlets were all being monitored and pretext, presumably. So when all this stuff on Arnold comes out, it's 6 minutes of audio. How the Los Angeles Times got a hold of it, I don't know. You can still comment on Arnold. Was that, if you're African-American, if you're Hispanic, was it offensive to you? It doesn't sound, as it turns out, it sounds like it's sort of a compliment to this Latina legislator who she says she's not offended by Arnold's remarks. And how come, and what is Phil's campaign going to do with it? If you were running Phil's campaign, how would you get maximum mileage out of the soup that Arnold's in, besides pointing out that while Phil is thinking about policy, Arnold is thinking about hot sauce? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. John and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I'm calling today. I'm Afro-Latino. My mom's Puerto Rican and my father is African-American. And I really don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's worked out well for me for 44 years. And I do think it's hot. And I think it's hot not only black and Latino. I think white and black, I look at white and black babies, they look cute. Black and Asian babies look cute. White and Asian babies look cute. I mean, if we're talking about an all-inclusive society, that's going to happen. And I think it's a great thing. I think it shows us progressing as a country and as a people. And
are you a Republican, John?
No, I'm a Democrat, and believe me, I've never been a friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought the recall election was a waste of time and money, and I'm definitely not a Bush person. But in this case, I have to say I don't see anything about it that should upset anybody, and if it should, it would be black or Latinos, and I really don't hear anybody from those communities saying anything.
I haven't gotten. You're the first call from the community that responded to it. Nobody who has identified himself as African American or Hispanic has called to comment whether or not they were offended by what Arnold had to say. And really, he was paying her a compliment. He said she was hot. But Phil ought to make some. Phil ought to get some traction out of this.
Well, I think Phil Angelis, you know, I'm one of his a big supporter of his. I helped in, was working on Kerry's campaign, and I remember him coming in making a couple of comments on election night. And I wear his Bush Lies T-shirt everywhere I go, and everybody loves it. But I don't think he can. I think it'd be a waste of his time to try to blow this out of proportion.
No, he ought to say something flip and funny and get some mileage out of it, so that he gets mentioned. He also gets some mileage out of it, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that may work. Yeah, as long as he, you know, doesn't take it too seriously. Yeah, you can make, you know.
Yeah, but they're not doing. So far, I haven't heard any kind of comeback from the campaign. They ought to get something out of it. I don't know how they would do it. I don't know what they would say, what the line would be, but it seems to me that he could get some traction out of this. But, John, I thank you very much for your comments. I really appreciate them.
Evening.
You too. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. We're talking about a lot of this data mining that's going on. In the case of Arnold and his comments about a Latina legislator, he said she was hot. He's had now to apologize. He's had now to, he said he called African-American legislators. He has called Hispanic legislators to apologize. He's apologized to the Latina legislator in question. She says she's not offended being called hot. I don't know. It sounds like a compliment to me, but Phil's campaign ought to be able to do something about it or with it. This was six minutes of audio tape, and we don't know how the Los Angeles Times acquired the audio tape. We do know that listening in on people, mining their data is apparently so easy that there are companies devoted to it, and they're devoted to the practice of pretexting, which now is becoming more public, and that people get away with this, and that all your private information is out there for everybody to digest is just amazing. And this is at a time when suddenly everybody's being surveilled, the NSA surveillance, we're all under surveillance. Companies are employing these kinds of techniques. If you think that you have any privacy whatsoever in the workplace, forget about it. Your emails are the companies, you know, they are free to look at all the emails. And there is, and I'm not saying companies have this, although maybe some do, but there is software. And those of you who are higher tech than I am, which means everybody, can tell us about it. But as I understand it, it records every single keystroke. So even the stuff that you, begin to type and then you cancel or you erase, or as you're drafting a document you think better of or you think of a better way, apparently all of that never goes away. It never gets disappeared. And it is accessible to somebody somewhere. I've often thought that you have to live your life as though you were completely transparent, because otherwise, because eventually it comes out. I think eventually all secrets, it may be that they take a while. And you know what's interesting to me? As they're finding out more things about prehistory or prehistoric animals, because we have all this brand new technology that can tell you things about dinosaurs that we wouldn't have known about dinosaurs had we been living in that time. It may take zillions of years, but eventually the secrets, many if not most, if not all, secrets do get revealed. And in the paper today I saw where there was a murder. 24 years ago, a woman was murdered. And 24 years later, they have taken her husband into custody. They didn't reveal what the new information was. They didn't reveal why they had taken the husband, who was, I think, a sheriff's deputy at that time, into custody for this 24-year-old event. But either new information was made available, or new information and new technology were working in concert with each other, I would imagine. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. And so now a lot of people are investigating pretexting, and they are investigating the legality of it. And the other part of the equation is that outside counsel for Hewlett-Packard is a big Silicon Valley legal firm, Wilson Sonsini. And Sonsini has defended Hewlett-Packard's methods and probably helped to give it some sort of legal okay. And there was recently some reporting on the subject that in some of these companies that have gotten into the soup, they have gotten into the soup, but their attorneys have not. So the attorneys give counsel. Who knows the quality of the counsel? These companies go ahead and do stuff, and if you're an officer of the company, you can get hauled off to the pokey, but these attorneys are not getting hauled off to the pokey. Justin and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I had originally had a comment regarding Schwarzenegger. I am by far not a Schwarzenegger fan, but what he said really wasn't that inflammatory. And also, you guys, I think, are taking his quote of hot a little out of context. He meant hot-blooded, which was an inside joke. He and the Republican assemblywoman have going right now. She calls herself a hot-blooded Latino, and just the way he speaks, he left it at hot rather than saying hot-blooded.
Well, maybe he's hot-blooded. but you know, if his face, it's got a lot of makeup in it. So I don't know.
I just think we're barking up the wrong tree here. There's no reason to get everybody riled up over something that's. Really
well, it didn't strike me as a big deal either, but
deal out of other issues that are important to us.
Okay, Justin, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight right around 69-70. Highs coming up for the next couple of days. 91, 92, a little humid. We're about 53 in our traffic. Northbound 99 on 12th. We have a vehicle blocking freeway service and westbound I-80 just west of Norwood, a vehicle there as well, and absolutely no hit and runs today, thank goodness, in the hit and run capital of California, as a matter of fact. Oh, you know what, I'm wrong. 8440 Elder Creek Road, we have hit and run, though no injuries. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
We got students, we got veterans, we got labor, we got small business.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
We've got a coalition for change.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Okay, Rick, we'll make the...
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boz Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
Hi, I'm Scott Farrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk. Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
And
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net. We need your support.
AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. The creators of the local alternative cable access programs Media Edge and Sacramento Soapbox present a series of progressive films and documentaries at Sacramento's Press Theater. Leading off the series will be The Ground Truth on Tuesday, September 19th at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. This film stunned audiences at the 2006 Sundance and Nantucket Film Festivals. This powerful documentary features exclusive footage of patriotic young Americans who heeded the call for military service in Iraq. Then on Tuesday, October 10th, director Robert Greenwald's new film, Iraq for Sale, will be screened at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Iraq for Sale uncovers the connections between private corporations making a killing in Iraq and the decision makers who allow them to do so. Greenwald's previous films include Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. Admission for each film is $10. More information is at 916-803-3909 or go to wethemedia.tv.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hola, Arnold. 4:29 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Hot. I'm yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation, 349-1320, 866-620-61320. What we're talking about, Arnold got into the stew. He got into the stew because Los Angeles Times somehow acquired 6 minutes of audio of Arnold talking off the cuff, off the record, to a group of his intimates in Sacramento at the Capitol. We're talking in that broader way that we sometimes do around here. Everybody is spying on everybody. Parents are spying on their children. Electronics make it possible. Things that you think are a secret don't remain a secret. Board of directors, these very august people sitting on the board of Hewlett-Packard are being spied on. And the way that they are being spied on has to do with something called pretexting, which is really lying to the phone company and saying you're you when you're not you and you're getting somebody else's records. So presumably people could get my records, your records, and so on by pretending to be us, and then the phone company releases those records. And suddenly we have, if we thought we had any privacy left, the only place privacy exists, I think, is in the dictionary. And I think, as I have said earlier, that you need to leave your... I've always thought that we need to... that it would be a good policy to live our lives as though everything we do were completely transparent, because no secrets remain. And I was taken by the fact that in the paper this morning, a man, after 24 years, his wife was mysteriously, I don't know if they ever found the body. It sounded like she just disappeared. And he was hauled into the justice system 24 years later. So apparently new material has developed, or new techniques for evaluating old material. 349-1320. Ann, in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I wanted to discuss what you just now discussed, because I was here at the time. And when they last opened the case on this poor woman that was murdered, the Bee didn't mention it, but they were asking his 90-year-old parents, maybe they were 75 at that time, if they could search their property for the remains of the dog. His wife's dog he had beaten to death.
He had beaten the dog to death? He was a sheriff's deputy at that time, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was at that time, because 24 years is a long time.
I think he was. I think the paper reported that he was a sheriff's deputy or along those lines. All right, so go on with the story.
Anyway, as I said, she was beaten to death either before or after he beat her dog to death. And many husbands do not like their wives' pets. And that's why I always knew in my heart he had done it. And I'm very glad, probably with this newer police force, because 24 years is a long time, they stopped being polite and begging parents, for instance, to search their property. And these new police put two and two together. It's well known that murders are often perpetrated by the closest person to the victim, and also, although they didn't mention it in the B, he had beaten to death her dog.
Yes,
probably it happened when she intervened. Who knows?
Who knows? So, but the point is, Anne, and I thank you for bringing us up to date. The point is that eventually new material surfaces, or even if it's not new material surfacing, eventually the techniques get so refined that even with the old material, they're able to. For example, in some crime scenes of cold cases, stuff that they threw away 20 years ago or 25 years ago because they thought it was worthless, a cigarette butt, for example. Well, today, you could retrieve that cigarette butt and you could get DNA off of it, but you couldn't do that 25 years ago and no one thought you could do it 25 years ago. So even with new technology, some cases will remain forever. Forever not dealt with. 3491320. But this business that nothing you do is private anymore, that everything, the whole idea of privacy, forget it. Here are these top people at Hewlett-Packard. Their personal phone calls are being scrutinized by a technique known as pretexting. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, John.
Yeah. Hi there. Basically, I want to give you some technical insight about privacy stuff. Microsoft Word 2003 internally actually have a tracking method, meaning that whenever you open that Word document and you save it, and then you come back and do an edit on it, what it is that whatever you have before is still there. So basically, if anybody wanted, you send to, let's say to me, I could turn on the tracking, I could see what you kind of intended to write before. So all the edit is still
there. Wait. If I'm sending you an email, and I save it, and then I edit it, and I make some changes on it, and then I send it to you. Are you able to access my document?
I could see all the changes you have made.
How can you do that?
Well, because it's part tracking. And Microsoft did that deliberately on that program, and thinking that you might want to go back to the edit. And what
presumably I can access it. But if I send it to you, John, can you go into my file and access what I have? All the edits that I made?
Well, see, when you send it a document that included all the changes that were in there. It's just that normally when you open a Word document, it would not reveal. But within the Word program, you could go to Tool Option under Security, and there's a way that you could turn the tracking back on, and I could see all the changes you have ever made.
Really? So when I send it to you, I'm really not sending the finished product. I have also sent to you the product. I had no idea that that was the case.
Right. Here's the thing. Microsoft do have a tool in their website. It's called Remove Hidden Data. And what it is that you could go to Google and type Remove Hidden Data Word 2003, and it'll give you information how to install that software. It basically, that's an add-on to the Word 2003, allow you to install in Word 2003. And then before you send to anybody or before you save in a document, you can go to File and come down and say Remove Any Hidden Data. And then that will be a clean copy of the final draft.
Well, if you haven't saved it, if you have just sat down at the keyboard and you wrote something and you edited it as you went along and then you sent it, will those edits show up also?
Yeah, because if you don't apply that particular patch, or they call it the add-on feature called Remove Hidden Data, whatever you send out will include everything you ever edited.
Wow, I had no idea that's a pretty scary thought, because it's sort of like looking into your mind and exactly. Your stops and starts, the thoughts that you were having, and then they go down a dead end and you realize you need to change the sentence, you need to do this or that. But there is also a program, it's called Spectre Pro. I don't know if you know about it, but it's powerful surveillance software. It captures every keystroke a computer user types and allows the installer with a password to access information about the target user's instant messages, emails, websites visited. It sells 40,000 copies a year, about triple the sales of 4 years ago, and many parents are customers.
Right, because basically is it that the company now monitoring the employee, they're using basically what the hacker have been using. To monitor, like Keylogger, those are the things. I take care of LAN support at where I work, so I know all about these things. Now, the thing is that for that remove hidden data, all you have to do is go to Google, type remove hidden data, mm-hmm. Word 2003, and that will give you a bunch of references where, you know, about that.
Okay. All right, John, I thank you very much for the call. Thanks for the good information. If you're working in computers, tell me what you know about this. And I'm wondering how much surveillance actually, I know that employers have the ability to surveil any of the email traffic that you are doing at your website or at your desk, at your computer at work. But I wonder how many of them actually do it. Maybe they do. Maybe they amuse themselves with all the places you... here are parents spying on children. Here is the government spying on all of us with all the data mining that's going on. Here is Hewlett-Packard spying on its board of directors. Here is the Los Angeles Times getting all this information about Arnold. And then you have all these scams that seek phone customer data so that they can continue, they pretext, so that it's potentially possible that your information is being accessed by other people. You could be data mined. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Ina Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Lisa West. Here we've got a little bit of traffic in southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. A three-car crash there, as well as northbound Cap City Freeway. Right next to Arden Way, two-car crash. Now, that is in the middle lane, so it's slowing traffic down pretty good. Looks like Florin Road in northbound 99, we have a three-car crash there as well. And I spoke too soon. Hit and run, 8440 Elder Creek Road, eastbound I-80 just east of Truxell and Queens at Huntington. Now, that's in Auburn, but stopping traffic on in here to Sacramento. And major injuries at Hickory Avenue and Oak Avenue, a three-car crash. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for, the world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ah, yeah. New rule. No more whining about the French. At least they're standing up to the Bush administration, which is more than I can say for the Democrats. And by the way, it doesn't make me un-American to say I'd rather live in Paris than in places where cheese only comes in individually wrapped slices. New rule. Secretary Ridge, we know you're running this huge Orwellian organization. There's no need to rub our face in it. New rule. No gay fraternities. Apparently there are now dozens of them. Why bother? If you're gay, you already have a much better way of bonding with another man than the chug-a-lug. A dirty show this week. Oh, boy.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Of the Weasel Empire.
We'll make America where we want it to be. A literate country and a hopeful country.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Four
5:42 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Well, we have proof positive that Dickie does have mental activity going on. How do we know this for sure? And that would be our president, George W. Dickie Bush. How do we know this? Well, because they have, and this part is actually a true story. A severely brain damaged woman in an unresponsive vegetative state showed clear signs on brain imaging tests that she was aware of herself and her surroundings, and this is according to researchers reporting this today. So if a severely brain damaged woman is showing signs of normal brain activity, then I guess you could say the same thing about Dickie, although I don't know why, because there is a blockbuster Senate report out. The Senate Intelligence Committee said today that there is no evidence that Saddam Hussein had pre-war ties to Al-Qaeda and one of the terror organization's most notorious members, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The report, which is probably going to intensify the debates about terrorism, finds that Saddam Hussein and the terrorists had almost nothing in common. Saddam only expressed negative sentiments about bin Laden, said his former foreign minister, Tariq Aziz. So we have the president. See, this is really interesting to me. Monday is, of course, 9/11. And on Monday, our guest is going to be two guests, Michael Isikoff of Newsweek magazine and David Corn of The Nation magazine. And they have written a new book called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of the Iraq War. Just a few weeks, every day, well, let me back up here. I have about a million things I want to say. But every day that I have been turning on CNN at a certain time, I'm watching live coverage of another speech by the president. Every single day this week, it seems, there has been another speech by the president. So you can see the marketing going on in the run-up to 9/11, and I think Dickie is scheduled to be delivering a speech in prime time on Monday night, 9/11. I don't know what the viewership will be as high as it has been for Katie Couric. Hard to say. But only a few weeks ago, Dickie has finally admitted that Iraq and the terrorists and 9/11 had nothing whatever to do with each other. Nothing whatever. These lies that were used to send people into war. Now, the good thing about cable TV is that not too many people, it doesn't have a high viewership. It has an influential viewership. But I think in terms of raw numbers, somebody once told me that only 60,000 people watch MSNBC nationwide. I don't know if that's true or not. It may be that we on Enid Live have more listeners than MSNBC. I mean, maybe we do. I don't know. Maybe we don't. You have here this deliberate marketing. I don't know if it's going to work this time. It's worked before, but I think people are really fed up. And this, a blockbuster report now released on September the 8th, Carl Levin of Michigan, Senator Carl Levin, Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, said that this report was a devastating indictment of the Bush-Cheney administration's unrelenting, misleading, and deceptive attempts to link Saddam Hussein to al-Qaeda. What was interesting is I was watching MSNBC and Chris Matthews. Here's Dick Cheney saying he never linked these two together, and of course it was really easy for MSNBC to unearth some old video where, in fact, he did link these two together. So they lie about it. You have video that contradicts it. What's new here is that you finally have MSNBC people like Chris Matthews putting it to the administration a little more gently than I'd like to see him put it to. You know, they're calling them on, finally, not acting as complete cheerleaders and stenographers here. But they are they're playing more hardball with the administration. You know, when Chris Matthews calls his show hardball, it's hardball with the Democrats. I don't think it's been hardball with the administration. Everybody's bowed and scraped to this administration. The administration knows that it can manipulate the coverage. It can get it, and it has been doing this quite successfully until finally it can't do it anymore. Until finally, people, the approval ratings for the president are in the toilet, and they, as far as I know, all these speeches, maybe it's too early to say, but so far, these, as far as I'm aware, none of these speeches have resulted in a bump in Dickie's approval ratings. And now, the Senate Intelligence Committee says there's no evidence that Saddam had pre-war ties to Al-Qaeda. And remember, Cheney was merchandising a story, trying to retail a story about how there was some security agent who met in Prague with Mohammed Atta or something like that. All of it was discredited. None of it was really true. And now that we are approaching, not only are we at the five-year anniversary, if you want to call it an anniversary, of 9/11, we are, what, about 3 years into the war in Iraq? We, almost as many of our men and women service people have perished in Iraq as were killed, murdered in 9/11. What is it, about 2,600 people now in Iraq and climbing? And it was about 3,000 in the World Trade Center. So no connection at all. I think most of us, we've known that. I don't think you had to be a genius to know it going in. There are now reports coming out that Congress knew going in that the war was complete BS, but that they felt that they couldn't vote against it, or they couldn't not allow the president to have the authority he needed if he were going to go to war. So there was no spine there. They're playing a marketing and merchandising game. We're looking to them. See, this is where you don't know what you're getting anymore. You think you're voting in somebody who represents you. There was a story in today's Wall Street Journal, and which I will get to. You check into a hotel, and you go to the if you're staying in a nice hotel, and you go to the concierge desk, and you ask, where's a nice place to go for dinner, or where's a good play that I could see, or where could I get some tickets for this or that, or go to a sporting event, and they may... Well, now, it turns out, and they don't tell you this, that the concierge desk has been outsourced in some hotels, so that vendors own those desks or pay for those people to staff those desks. And it's often ticket vendors, so people who have an agenda. So you go up and incognizant and you ask for a recommendation and you don't realize that you are being manipulated. You think you're getting a straight story from the concierge screw you? Well, apparently the concierge might. So you elect your representatives, and you think that they are going to make some attempt to serve you. They haven't got the slightest interest in serving you. Paul Krugman today writing about how the rich have gotten hideously richer in this administration, and most everybody else has not. So that when you ask people how are you doing, most people are not doing very well economically. 349-1320-866-620-1320. And here, a Senate panel releasing this report on Iraq intelligence. There was no evidence that Saddam Hussein had pre-war ties to Al-Qaeda. You think your lawmakers may be acting in some slight sense of the best interest for the country, the best interest for the common good. And you find out they're like the concierge service. Really, they're paid, they're a wholly owned subsidiary of somebody else, not of you. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West, a wholly owned subsidiary of the forces that happen on a fabulous Friday.
And the forces that people use while their eyes are closed on South M 99. It's very interesting. They use the force. And there are two accidents. Collision on the right-hand side by Fruit Ridge Road. We do have a two-car crash by Mack Road, slowing traffic down. And as usual, it is, but it's a little slower than normal. We also have northbound Sunrise Boulevard at White Rock Road. A defective signal light slowing people down. In fact, if you're right above that, why don't you just get off so you don't have to go that way? Northbound Cap City Freeway, just north of Marconi Avenue, a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
So hot today in New York City, that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?" Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker. Wow. Is that hot?
It's so hot, Christy Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa!
It's so hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Welcome to Los Angeles, where I believe the official sunscreen is now lead, isn't it, pretty much? Oh, my God, this heat. I was sweating like Naomi Campbell trying to hire a maid. It was so hot today. It was so hot in Hollywood today. Brad and Angelina adopted Ben and Jerry. Did you know that? It was so hot in Encino. Michael Jackson actually stopped at a young boy's lemonade stand and just bought the lemonade. Never happened. You know the worst part about this heat wave across the country is Al Gore walking around going, I told you so. Actually, if Al Gore's movie on global warming is correct, as you know, the ice caps are shrinking. You all know about that. The glaciers are shrinking. The only thing not shrinking, Al Gore, apparently. Have you seen Al? Really not shrinking. I tell you, the heat, it puts people in a bad mood. You know, in fact, coming into work today, people were swearing like President Bush near an open mic. It was unbelievable.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five 54 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And we're talking about a lot of things, as usual. We're talking about the fact that the Los Angeles Times was able to get, and we don't know how they got it, 6 minutes of audio of Arnold talking off the cuff and talking about who's hot and who's not. We're talking about how your data is not as secure as you think it is, in case you ever thought it was secure, that Hewlett-Packard, trying to find out which of its directors was leaking to the media, hired security consultants, electronic security consultants, who managed to access the directors of Hewlett-Packard's personal phone traffic, and they did it by pretexting. What a nice spin on lying, pretending to be the person calling the phone company, pretending to be the person whose records you want to access, and then getting hold of their information in that way. So suddenly it brings to practice a very gray area. I don't know why it's gray. Bill Lockyer, the Attorney General of California, thinks that it's completely, that it thinks it's illegal. So there could be some criminal charges here. We don't know yet. Hasn't yet played out. We know that parents are using all kinds of technology to access what their kids are doing because they're scared to death of their children. And we're talking also about the whole we want to look over your shoulder mentality of the government. We want to access all of you. We will share nothing of what we're doing. We are operating in complete secrecy. We're not telling you who our energy consultants were. We don't want you to know, but we want to know every jot and tittle of your life.
And when we need to do it, every few years or so, we trot out all these blandishments. We want your vote. We know we might not get your vote as much this year, so we already have another. We have Plan B in process. And what Plan B will do is it's going to restrict voting in a number of states. And it, you know, we know that you're mad about the Iraq, that the fact that Saddam and Iraq had nothing, whatever, to do with each other. We know that you're starting to understand that you have been manipulated. So we have a plan in place for that. Our approval ratings are in the toilet. We know that. We're giving these speeches, and we're hoping that what worked in the past will continue to work. But in case it doesn't, what we're prepared to do is restrict voting in certain states. And there are certain states that are already putting restrictive voting requirements into effect. I think Ohio is one of them, and it may be Mississippi is another one of them. And it's so easy to hack into the system that two 54-year-old women with $12 worth of tools and 4 minutes of their time were able to do it recently. Black box.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Escaped convict Ralph Bucky Phillips is believed to be surrounded in the woods of northeast Pennsylvania just over the New York state line, and police vow he won't get away.
He's a disgusting, lifetime criminal, and that's all he is.
CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts reports Phillips escaped from a New York prison in April. He allegedly shot and wounded a state trooper in June. Then last month, authorities say Phillips ambushed two troopers, killing one and critically wounding the other.
Since he's been on the run, police believe Phillips has stolen at least 15 cars and 40 guns, living off the land, ex-girlfriends, and at least one boyhood buddy who's since been arrested.
He can run, but he won't hide. We have never, ever not caught the people we're after. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, but we win every time.
According to friends, Phillips has long threatened suicide by cop. And before this night is over, he may well get his chance.
Late yesterday, Phillips made the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Air Force Major Jill Metzger is safe at an American base in Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia 3 days after she vanished during a shopping trip. A local police official says the 33-year-old Metzger reports she was kidnapped. Her father-in-law, Kelly Mayo of Colorado Springs, says she was found at the side of a road and she'd been roughed up.
We were told that she was found, she'd been beaten, she had had her head shaved, and was dehydrated. Other than that, she was coherent and speaking, and, but that's all we know at this point.
Mayo says his son, Air Force Captain Joshua Mayo, is overjoyed that his wife was found alive. A report from the Senate Intelligence Committee released today says Saddam Hussein never had any links to al-Qaeda. That contradicts one of the Bush administration's justifications for war, but White House spokesman Tony Snow dismisses the report as old news.
In 2002 and 2003, members of both parties got a good look at the intelligence we had, and they came to the very same conclusions about what was going on.
Critics say the report shows the administration misled the public. Vice President Cheney has said Saddam had long-established ties with al-Qaeda. NASA will try again in the morning. Space Shuttle Atlantis failed to get off the ground today because of a faulty fuel tank sensor.
Would NASA have violated its own rules and launched had the data they got turned out to be more conclusive? We'll never know the answer to that, although Shuttle Program Manager Wayne Hale says managers and engineers debated it before scrubbing less than an hour before launch.
We are down here to launch the vehicle, so we might as well talk about it until it's time to knock it off.
They'll fill up the tank again tomorrow, Hale says, if the same fuel tank sensor fails, but three others look good. It's probably a go for launch. NASA's anxious to fly and resume space station construction as soon as possible. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 60 points, finishing the week at 11,392. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
Everybody has a different idea of the perfect home.
Now that the kids are grown, we want a smaller place.
We really need more room. There's a baby on the way.
I'll take a place with a garage for my new baby.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Look for great savings on Claritin in your newspaper this weekend. News is directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
From Mexico City, CBS News reporter Adrian Barr tells us the alleged leader of a Colombian drug cartel has been apprehended and expelled to the United States.
Jaime Maya Duran is considered the mastermind behind smuggling multi-ton shipments of cocaine to both the U.S. and to Europe. One of those was a 500 metric ton shipment worth about $10 million on the street. Mexican officials did not release the details of his capture, but the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City confirmed it and praised Mexican authorities.
Maya Duran is now in federal custody in New York City. Iowa's Supreme Court ruled today that Douglas Kolarik of Iowa City can sue a company that imports and packages Spanish olives because he bit down on an olive pit and broke a tooth. The green olives were supposed to be stuffed with pimento. A lower court judge dismissed the case, but the high court says the jar should have had a warning on the label that pits or pit fragments might be encountered. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Safeway Environmental.
New rule. If you really want freedom, don't cheapen the word by using it to describe potatoes. Yeah. Ohio Representative Bob Ney found time in what must be a hectic schedule to rename French fries Freedom Fries, leading the French to rename American cheese Bob Ney. New rule, if you are the president, you have to have stuff on your desk. You just do. It makes us feel better. It's just... New rule, let Tony Blair do the talking. No, I say this sympathetically, Mr. President, you don't need to be doing the speechifying. You're like the Clint Eastwood character in a Western, the tough guy who doesn't say much. Tony Blair, he's the gay English character actor. Let him come in and lay the pipe. Plus, he's British, it just sounds smarter.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Loving Enid is wrong. We don't want to be right. AM 1320.
5:06, 6 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I didn't think I'd be with you today, but I am until 7 o'clock.
and next week as well. And we have all kinds of wonderful guests that we have booked for next week's show. So let me share some of that with you and remind you that we stream live 1320 Left Channel, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can email me, Enid at kctc.com, and all calls to Enid Live are toll free, 349-1320, 866-620-6120. And your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every day that AM 1320 is here, that they can start their day with Scott and Sims in the morning, and go on to Air America, and then I'm with you from 3 to 7, Monday through Friday. Next week, we are going to be joined by David Korn and Michael Isikoff. Michael Isikoff is writes for Newsweek, and you've heard about him in a lot of different contexts. I think the Monica Lewinsky, he did a lot of reporting on that. And David Korn, who writes for The Nation, they've written a book called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin Scandal and the Selling of the Iraq War. It is said to be filled with explosive revelations. It is said to have a gripping narrative that takes the reader behind the scenes at the Bush White House, the CIA, the Pentagon, State Department, and Congress to disclose the controversial decisions and turf battles that occurred in the highest circles. So they're going to be with us on Monday in the 4 o'clock hour. Tuesday, Francine Prose, whose new book we're going to talk about, will be on the New York Times bestseller list after she joins us that following Sunday. She has written a new book called Reading Like a Writer, a guide for people who love books and for those who want to write them. So if you love books, sometimes you want to know what books are good to read and for what reasons, how much you can learn from books, how much you can learn about writing from reading certain authors. On Wednesday, Wayne Slater, who is a reporter for the Dallas Morning News, and James Moore, and who has known Karl Rove for many, many years, and James Moore, have written a book called Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. They will be my guests on Wednesday. All these guests are in the 4 o'clock hour. And Nora Ephron on Thursday will be joining me. She has written the book that will be number one on the New York Times bestseller list this Sunday, I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman, and it's a collection of her essays, and she hasn't written a book of essays for some years now, so it's an event. And I'm reading it, and actually it's pretty good so far. Edward Jones joins us Monday the 18th. He has won a Pulitzer. He's a National Book Award-winning author. His new book is called All Aunt Hager's Children. He wrote a book called The Known World that got so much attention. He grew up in a very impoverished situation, an African-American man, took jobs as he could, was a little bit homeless for a while, had been thinking about a book for many, many years that had developed in his head, and when he finally sat down to write it, he wrote it in 7 months, and it won the National Book Award, and it won the Pulitzer Prize. So it's an amazing piece of work. All of this on Enid Live next week. We are talking about all kinds of stuff. We're talking about how the chairwoman for Hewlett-Packard had her own board of directors surveilled by electronic security people. Well, the San Francisco Chronicle is reporting that she says that she did not know that investigators hired by the company were posing as board members to obtain the board members' personal information, adding that she was, quote, appalled to learn of the tactics. So there's something called deniability. You don't want to know how they're doing what they're doing. And this is where Anthony Pelicano was doing what he was doing in Los Angeles, although I think some of the attorneys who employed him may have known what he was up to, but they probably didn't want to know what he was up to. In her first public comments since this scandal broke a couple of days ago, Dunn said that she does not currently plan to resign, but that she would leave it to the computer makers board to decide whether she should stay. I serve entirely at the pleasure of the board. She's the one who decided that since one of the board members was leaking, they needed to find out who. And she hires these security consultants who apparently not only pretext, but also posed as other board members in order to get board members' personal information, like their phone traffic records. And Attorney General Bill Lockyer says some of this is clearly illegal, and so there could be some criminal charges here. We'll wait and see what happens. I want to move the conversation along to something that's going on at ABC News that is suddenly the subject of a lot of controversy. And that is that they have a docudrama scheduled to air on 9/11. I think it's going to air in a couple of parts, and it is inaccurate. Because it is inaccurate, Bill Clinton has assailed it. The people in his administration have written letters assailing it. There's a whole long list of historians, including Arthur Schlesinger, who have assailed it. Madeleine Albright has written a letter. I think Sandy Berger has written a letter. Nobody from that camp has actually seen this docudrama, but top historians are demanding that ABC yank the film. I think the way it's been left is that they said they're going to make some changes to it. But here is a scathing letter that Arthur Schlesinger Jr., Princeton's Sean Wilentz, Georgetown's Michael Kazin, and a few other historians and professors have written to ABC chief Robert Iger. It demands that ABC yank the broadcast, labeling the network's explanations disingenuous and dangerous. A responsible broadcast network would have nothing to do with the falsification of history except to expose it. We strongly urge you to halt the show's broadcast and prevent misinforming Americans about their history. And here is what the letter says. We write as professional historians who are deeply concerned by the continuing report that ABC's scheduled broadcast called The Path to 9/11. These reports document that this drama contains numerous flagrant falsehoods about critical events in recent American history. The key participants and eyewitnesses to these events state that the script distorts or even fabricates evidence in order to mislead viewers about the responsibility of numerous American officials for allegedly ignoring the terrorist threat before 2000. The claim by the show's producers, broadcaster, and defenders that these falsehoods are permissible because the show is merely a dramatization is disingenuous and dangerous, given their assertions that the show is also based on authoritative historical evidence. What do you think if you label it? This is a docudrama, which ABC is doing, but it is so clearly skewed. And Americans have no sense of history. They don't hardly have any sense of geography. They don't know much about history. Don't know much geography. That's Americans. We just don't know much. It is sort of dangerous. At the same time, we do have First Amendment. I mean, ABC can do what it wants, and historians and Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton's attorney and Bruce Lindsay and Madeleine Albright can write letters and they can do what they want, and everybody can register their protests, and fundamentally, ABC can make its own call. What would be the downside if ABC decides not to make any changes? They're saying they're going to make some changes. I don't know how significant the changes are. I think in a way it's dangerous because Americans don't have a sense of history, and this plays right into the administration's hands. What do you think about it? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Steve in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on ABC. On ABC, that's right. AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Steve.
Speaking of ABC, I think everybody's going to be watching the drama now because of all the attention brought to it by Clinton. I'd like to know why is Clinton, what is he hiding? Because we know that he could have killed Bin Laden, and we know that Sandy Berger walked out of the National Archives with papers stuff in his
sock. Yeah, but Clinton has Clinton has said, I know you're a big apologist. I know you're a big Rush Limbaugh guy. I know you call up to try to get the conservative point here. But Clinton and everybody who is involved in these decisions have said that there are lots of inaccuracies here. So, the question is, what is ABC's responsibility when they have labeled it a docudrama?
Enid, I'd like to know what Sandy Berger...
I'm asking you, that isn't the question I'm asking you. And it has nothing to do with this conversation. What I'm asking you is, what is ABC's responsibility?
Neither did Rush Limbaugh have anything to do with this conversation. I don't know why you brought that up.
Well, I don't know what the point is you're trying to make exactly, except that you're always trying to smear Clinton. And when this administration has nothing but Clinton to fall back on, you can see how bankrupt it actually is. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Here's ABC going to air a documentary on 9/11, The Path to 9/11. The filmmaker who is involved with it is an admitted right-wing guy. He is somebody who's got huge right-wing ties. Let's see. He has evangelical ties, and he has right-wing ties. The director of Path to 9/11 has ties to an evangelical Christian group whose goals include transforming Hollywood from the inside out, according to research by readers of prominent blogs. So the bloggers exposed him. And also there's the writer The guy who did the script is somebody who is very plugged into right-wing issues and so on. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Now, I want to tell you this. One of the things that we talked about in the last hour, you go to the hotel, you sign up with the concierge, you amble over to the concierge, and you ask for what you think is a straight, you know, an honest reference for a restaurant, for some, you know, tickets for a theater, you know, what do you think of this? And you don't know that that position has been outsourced and that vendors pay to be there in some hotels. Well, here's what you also don't know, that this administration has not only, we do know this part, they have paid off a number of journalists. It turns out they've paid off even more, and it has to do with Cuban-American issues. And also, it turns out that some of these people in these right-wing think tanks have been paid off by right-wingers and, I think, by the administration in various ways. And then they're the ones who write these op-ed pieces, and you don't know that they are on the payroll. You don't know that they're propagandists. And you really don't know this right-wing guy, what his relationship is, the script writer, what his relationship is with some of these right-wing institutions. I think on 9/11, the respectful thing to do is, if you're going to do it with taste and do it with honesty. And don't manipulate it so that it becomes another screed. It's already bad enough that when you go to the doctor, you don't know if what the doctor is prescribing you is something that he thinks you should have, or whether he is being paid off by the drug companies because they're monitoring what he prescribes, or whether the HMOs are looking at what he prescribes and think he's prescribing too many expensive drugs. You really don't know anymore wherever you go, whether it's to the doctor, to the concierge, to a what looks like a documentary but isn't. You really don't know, or you pick up the op-ed section of the paper, and here is somebody who's written a piece from the Manhattan Institute, the American Enterprise Institute. These are all right-wing think tanks, and it turns out that the administration has been paying some of these people off. So you read what you think is an honest piece of work, and it's not. It's propaganda. You really cannot. It's almost like, who can you trust? Sean in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Sean?
Hi.
Welcome.
Am I on?
You are. Welcome.
Sorry, Enid. Hey, I just wanted to say that for all of the downsides on this ABC thing, there's a potential upside if we keep plugging away at it and telling everybody that it's riddled with inaccuracies. Eventually, people are going to understand that, and then the trade-off was made by the Republican member of the 9/11 Commission getting to bring to light the fact that Bush hasn't made, or the Bush administration hasn't implement any of the suggestions made by them.
Not only no, and they didn't even want to have the commission. They've stonewalled, they've stalled. Remember, Bush made himself available for 1 hour and no note-taking, no nothing. I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a moment. And I'm going to quote you Peter Jennings, because he was in San Francisco once and I trailed him around to do a piece on him, which I did. And here is what he said. He said, the visuals in television are so powerful that if you put a disclaimer up, if the voiceover says, don't believe these visuals, they're fake, forget it. People will believe them. So people aren't, you know, I understand what you're saying, and then there is some upside here that people, but will they trouble themselves to find out what the real story is? I don't know about that. And if you're already convinced that this administration is lying to you, then I think whatever your position is, I don't know to what extent this docudrama will change things, really. I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe that little tiny percentage of independent voters will be manipulated. I don't know.
Well, let's hope that's not the case.
All right, Sean, I thank you for the call. That opens up a line. We have one line open, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And we're talking about the ABC docudrama. It's clearly it's not faithful to the facts, and it's negative toward the Clinton administration. And the people who are involved in making those decisions are screaming. And all these prominent historians have said to ABC News, you really owe us an honest explanation. You need to do it in an honest way. So what is their responsibility here when they say, well, it's a docudrama, meaning that we have fictionalized certain things? What is their responsibility? Kim in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Enid. My comment is that they can air whatever kind of lie they want to air, what it's the right of every Democrat to boycott them. I'd like to know if you can tell me where I can find a list of all ABC advertisers. I don't care what program it's on. From now on, I'll buy from their competitors.
Well, I'll tell you what. You want to make your job even easier?
Sure.
Having worked for a television station as an executive once, here's what I know, unless things have changed. You almost don't even actually have to boycott the advertisers. All they have to do is get three negative letters, and they fold like a cheap suit. So if you threaten it, it may have the intended effect.
Okay.
I would write to Robert Iger. The president is writing to Robert Iger, the head of the network, and that's who I'd write to as well. Let him know your concerns. I thank you for the call, Kim. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Rob in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Rob.
Hi. I was just going to say the same thing. I earlier today tried to call ABC through the 800 number. Was busy. I mean, I couldn't get through. And then I tried to get the regular number in New York, and I couldn't get through. And I finally got the local station, and the guy says, are you upset about this portrayal of Clinton during 9/11? I said, I sure am. He says, well, I'll put it down. I said, make sure it gets to your editor.
It doesn't help.
And the guy said, okay, you're about the 10th. About the 1,000th call I got today. So.
When they put you on voicemail, sometimes it's attached to nothing. So I would email.
Yeah.
Try to get the. Lauren, can we try to find out the email address for ABC in New York or in Los Angeles, wherever Robert Iger is headquartered, where you could email and maybe have some hope that they get an idea of how upset people are about this.
Yeah, I'm upset about it. They pulled the Reagan show, and Reagan said something about besmirched the gay people, and it wasn't accurate, supposedly. Well, this is even more important, and it's ironic it comes on like less than 2 months before the election. That is just so full of bull that, you know, one of my friends says, I said, looks like the Democrats got a good shot at really taking over the House. He says, don't count out Karl Rove and all those kind of people.
That's exactly right, Rob. And I thank you.
Thanks for giving me information about Robert Iger. If you announce it later in your show, I'm sure to hear it.
Okay.
I hope you're doing well after your trip to the dentist. I haven't talked to you since.
Well, the dentist decided he couldn't do what he was going to do, so I actually am pretty perky. So thank you.
That must make you feel a lot better.
Well, it does, but now I have to figure out what else I have to do. Rob, I thank you for the call. Yeah, they've done all this polling on how Democrats are not going to, you know, how people are not going to vote for the administration. And here's the critical line in the results. If things remain the same. In other words, the administration, I think, is already figuring out ways to restrict voting in Democratic areas. They already probably know how to, if black box voting can break into the voting machines, alter the seals with $12 worth of equipment, 4 minutes of time, and two 54-year-old women, I'm sure the Republican Party has figured out how to do this. And then the critical line was, if all things remain the same, if nothing changes, I think they're going to have like an October surprise. I really would not put it past them. There are now a couple of lines open. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Nice. And traffic speeding up again there, southbound 99. We're back up to about 50, 55. Although dry, let's see, eastbound 50 just east of Scott Road, we have a two-car crash. There are no injuries. And at northbound Sunrise Boulevard at White Rock, we have a defective signal light that is slowing traffic down, stopping traffic, and we have a collision right above that due to the defective signal light. Madison Avenue just west of Illinois, we have a three-car crash. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
You're listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at AM1320LeftChannel.com. New rule. Get the Ashton Kutcher Demi Moore breakup over now.
Let's just pretend we've already printed those issues of Us Weekly and people read them and thrown them away. And while we're at it, let's also pretend we've already heard Joe Lieberman drop out. New rule. In an all-volunteer army, there can be no such thing as a conscientious objector. Marine Stephen Funk says he shouldn't have to go to Iraq because he just joined the Marines to, quote, learn new things and meet new people. That's like joining the Beach Boys and then announcing you're not going to play that stupid surf music. We need Saddam Hussein's head. Stop talking about his DNA. Nobody made a movie called Bring Me the DNA of Alfredo Garcia. Traumatized Iraqis need to see the head on a pole in the center of Baghdad, or as it's now called, the Galleria at Halliburton Square.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
Line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
ABC doesn't seem very embarrassed about the fact that it is putting on a movie on a serious, sensitive topic on the fifth-year anniversary of 9/11 that contains fiction.
Our officers are in place, sir. They're in danger.
I understand that, Patricia, but I don't have that authority.
Former...
Enid Goldstein here with you on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. That was a tiny little clip of some of the furor is about and not enough really for you to get a picture of it. But the allegation that here is the fifth anniversary of 9/11. Why do you want to put on a fictionalized version? And why do you want to put one on that is negative to the Democratic administration, the administration that tried to warn the Republicans coming in that terrorism was going to be their biggest problem, and they ignored it. And there was the Hart-Rudman report that predicted 9/11. This was a bipartisan, distinguished blue panel report, and it was shelved until about 9/11. 349-1320, I think we have one line open. Peter in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you, Enid?
Good, thank you. Peter, you're going to have to call us back. You're breaking up. 349-1320, Kathleen in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi,
yes, hi.
So I just wanted to ask, how is this program, this docudrama, any different from the fictionalized kind of histories or biographies that are produced in totalitarian states about their leaders? I mean, Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, really? Oh, well, there's a surprise. Now, you know, the big story in today's Wall Street Journal is how conservatives are helping Walmart and vice versa, and Walmart is getting paid. Oh, I said it was the administration. These conservatives are getting paid by Walmart to write these positive op-ed pieces. We know the administration has paid off any number of pundits like Armstrong Williams and has done fake news releases. So we know that they've indulged in propaganda, and who knows? We know that the writer of the script is a right-winger, and we know that the guy who directed it is a fundamentalist Christian, so I don't know what ABC was thinking, but this is what they were thinking.
Well, I think they are thinking that they're going to support this regime, and I think that's really what it is. Thank you for letting me comment.
You're very welcome, and thank you for commenting. I like the point you made. 349-1320, Gene in Roseville. Hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Gene.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I heard something on Randy a little earlier, and Randy generally doesn't say anything unless she's researched it pretty thoroughly. And she reported that this docudrama was being shown commercial-free. Implying that the $40 million cost of production was being absorbed by ABC. I thought that was very, very telling, assuming that that's accurate.
I haven't heard that, and I would be very surprised. Maybe that is the case. I'm assuming that if she reported it's true.
Well, as I said, that was the only place that I heard it, and I thought if that is an accurate statement, and Randy,
it's huge. First of all, it's gotten huge publicity. The networks are in the business of making a lot of money.
Exactly.
There's somebody who's sponsoring. There's some payment here that's happening somewhere. I don't know what the details are. I hadn't heard that, but I can't imagine that the networks look what they get for Super Bowl. Look what they get for. Any event, they're not in there. They're a money-generating operation. That's the whole point of ABC.
Well, one would think so, but the question is, where is the money being generated from relative to this situation?
Well, if it's a commercial-free thing, then it's being picked up somewhere by someone. So I'd be curious to know more about that. I thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Okay.
349-1320, 866-626-1320. ABC, if you want to, we don't have an email, but we have a phone number and we have a... we have an address, ABC Inc., 500 South Buena Vista Street, Burbank, California, 4551, it looks like. So, ABC Inc., 500 South Buena Vista Street, BUENAVISTA, two words, Burbank, 91521, phone number 818-460-7477. Let them know how you feel about what they're doing. Bruce in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Enid. First of all, I think Randy read a statement from ABC saying that out of the $40 million, there was going to be a limited number of advertisers, very limited.
Well, then it means that they're picking, then each of them are paying more money to have that placement on this, what will be very highly rated because there's been so much controversy about it.
Yeah, I agree.
So somebody is, there are advertisers who are then picking up the tab.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
There was a suggestion earlier to listen to ABC, see who their advertisers were, you know, listen for 30 minutes, you know, then call up the advertiser. But it would be great if somebody could put together a list of their advertisers and we know where we could go call them. Also, isn't there some kind of connection with Disney and ABC?
Disney owns...
Go down to Disneyland on the freeway and do some freeway blogging. It's our free speech rights. Put up signs on the next to the freeway. Tell them to boycott Disneyland.
Well, Disney owns ABC. So, okay, Ron, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620, 61320. Ron, another Ron in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hello, Enid. Thanks to you. Thanks to 1320 for having the courage to do the programming that you do. Love Air America.
Thank you.
And boys and girls, if you haven't seen Enid, Hello, pity pat, be still my heart. Regarding your call, on the show.
This is what we love about radio. Everybody can be beautiful on radio. Yes, right.
I know most of them are not. That's why they're in radio. However, not Enid, guys. Yeah, hey, go. When she has a live event, hey, go check it out. And she's single too, right?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Hello. Do you come here often? Can I buy you a drink? Would you like to dance? How are you getting home?
You know, you should run for office because this is what all the politicians say when they're trying to seduce a vote out of you.
No, I couldn't run for office because I think politics is the art of compromise, and I'm pretty rigid. I'd be going, no, you don't hide that in there. I'm calling about is this a documentary that they're running? This mockumentary, this crapumentary?
Hackumentary.
Yeah, hackumentary. No, this is the right wing neocons saying, hey, pony up. They want ABC wants more legislation to buy more stuff that people are going to go, well, we don't care if you buy CBS and NBC. It'll be one giant company. But I have seen on our own Channel 10, our ABC affiliate, CBS 10,
mm-hmm.
The promos for this mockumentary, and it's saying that it's going to be run commercial free. So that means that you can't really say anything about the advertising.
Well, when they say commercial free, what that may mean is that you'll have commercials before and
yes.
after, but not
yes.
during. Somebody's paying for it.
Yes,
it's costing
yes.
a lot of money, and believe me, this network is not, they've got to get the stock price up, so
yes,
somebody's
absolutely.
Paying for it.
So what we want our listeners and viewers to do is to write down the advertisers that you see in the 2 minutes or the 3 minutes or the 5 minutes, in their case, preceding the film, and write down the names of the advertisers after you see the film, and then call these advertisers and give them a piece of your mind.
Well, there's a thought. I thank you very much, Ron.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And thank you for your kind words.
We love Air America. We love 1320. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. We have a line open. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. Here's what we're talking about if you're just joining us. ABC is running, what do you want to call it, a hackumentary, a mockumentary, a docudrama, they're calling it, Path to 9/11. It's filled with inaccuracies. A whole list of very prominent historians has written a letter to ABC asking them to correct it. Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, Bill Clinton's attorney, Madeleine Albright, the whole litany of the Clinton administration, poorly portrayed. The screenwriter is a right-wing guy who's trying to pander to the administration because he wants his project to go forward, the scriptwriter. The director is a fundamentalist evangelical who's part of a group that wants to transform Hollywood. And maybe our last caller is right. ABC, there is more talk about additional consolidation, where there aren't any limits. There are still some limits, not many, between how many radio stations, television stations, newspapers any one company can own in any given market. And so maybe this is ABC's way of pandering. But on the anniversary of 9/11, to do something this inaccurate with a population that can barely tie its shoelaces is, I think, unconscionable. The First Amendment, they have the right to do it. But you know what? We have the right to vote with our feet, too, and with our TV remotes, 349-1320. 866-620-61320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
It's fabulous Friday, and the traffic is fabulous. Back up to 65, 70. Well, anyway, if any police officers listening, I'm sure that no one's going 70 over there at southbound 99. Westbound 50 at Cap City Freeway, we have a three-car crash, though. And northbound I-5 at Arena Boulevard. There's a pedestrian, I guess he's standing in the middle of the roadway. There's a truck on fire westbound I-80 at Bell Road. Now, that is over by Auburn. And Stevenson Avenue just east of Power Inn Road, we have a three-car crash. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire.
We'll make America where we want it to be. A literate country and a hopeful country.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Stop us now!
Small business.
You deserve. Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about this ABC mockudrama, mockumentary, whatever you want to call it, about 9/11 called The Path to 9/11. Variety is reporting that it's looking a lot like the Reagan's Part 2. Bill Clinton loyalists are demanding wholesale changes to the upcoming miniseries. But a bombshell decision, Variety is reporting. Now, what we know so far is that ABC says it will make some small changes. But Variety has reported that a bombshell decision may happen anyway. Sources close to the project say that the network, which has been in a media maelstrom over path to 9/11, is mulling the idea of yanking this mini documentary or mini series altogether. As for specific criticisms and changes, there is the original contains a scene in which then National Security Advisor Sandy Berger declines to give the CIA authority to capture or kill Osama bin Laden, even when CIA operatives know where the al-Qaeda leader is. This account has been expressly contradicted by Richard Clark, a high-ranking counterterrorism official in both the Clinton and Bush administrations. While ABC declined to comment on specific changes, it is believed that the Berger scene was among those being reworked. And those critics who've already seen it had this to say about it. New York Times TV critic Alessandra Stanley declares the film fictionalized but still even-handed. However, in another review, Chicago Sun-Times TV critic Doug Elfman calls the movie a total bore. See, they get the TV critics get copies in advance of the so that they can review it, and so sometimes critic TV Elfman calls the movie a total bore and amateurish. John Podhoretz, conservative columnist for the New York Post, labels it a stiff and attacks the film's depiction of Madeleine Albright and Sandy Berger. USA Today's Robert Bianco writes that the movie has enough trouble just following history. Rewriting history is an ambition it should have left at the door. So the reviews have not been good. 3-4-9 1320, Ashwin and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm very well, Ashwin, thank you.
Hey, very simply, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, Pentagon and the White House announced that they're looking for some people to actually sell the war at home over here. They came out right out and said it.
No, they're looking for people to report on Iraq. Yeah, okay, and yeah, it's a PR move, but I took it to mean more over there than over here, but go ahead.
And then also, we are looking at looking at ABC trying to say, okay, we won't make any money off it. How about product placement?
Well, first of all, not having commercial interruptions is not the same as not making any money off of it. Believe me, this thing cost a fortune to make. It's time that they can sell. What it means is they'll sell it in such a way that the commercials are bracketed before and after and not in the middle. So I'm sure they're making money, Ashwin.
And the last thing I wanted to say was that everyone is mad. I haven't seen this kind of outpouring of madness out there, and people are getting really, really angry. Stay angry till November, at least. Stay angry.
Good advice. Thank you very much. Here. 349-1320. Joe in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Enid. How you doing, Enid?
I'm doing well. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I was wondering if you've seen it. You seem pretty upset about it, and you haven't even...
Would I have seen it, Joe? It hasn't aired yet. It airs on Monday night.
Why are you so upset about it?
I'm looking at all the reporting about it and the critics who have seen it. So tell me what your point is.
Well, you're upset about something.
You haven't. Have you seen it either? Have you seen it?
Real truth.
Have you seen this or not?
I haven't seen it either. I'm anxious.
Well, then, have you read any of the reporting, or do you not bother yourself to read the reporting about it?
Here and call the producers and call the commercial people just so it can be removed from the...
No, what we'd like for it to be is accurate. Don't you think it should be accurate if it's airing on 9/11 and purports to be about the process that led to 9/11? Don't you think that it should be accurate, Joe?
Why? Was the World Trade Center accurate? The movie just came out. Was the Muslim mentioned one time in that show? No. They just want to talk about the explosion.
So you think that they should lie about this and make it seem like it's a fault of Bill Clinton? Is that what you're saying?
If you haven't seen it, how do you know if it's a truth or a lie? If you haven't seen it.
Because I'm going by the reporting, Joe. Have you don't know you don't know either. You know, and you strike me as someone who probably doesn't read too many newspapers about it either.
Well, not to watch it because it might reveal something about the Clinton administration. We know what.
But what we do know is that that there have been a lot of inaccuracies, and we do know that the network is going to try and fix those inaccuracies. So, and we are hearing that they might even pull it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Owen in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Is this a 2 or 3 part show?
I think it's a 2-part.
Two-part show. Okay. My understanding is that it's equally rough on both administrations. So
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but and there has been no outcry from the Republican side. So I think that's probably not true. The outcry has come from the Democrats, who have said that the portrayal of certain instances is untrue and unfair. So I would think that if the Republicans felt that it was untrue and unfair, you'd hear from them as well.
What are you reading about the second half, about the second night? Is there?
I don't know. I haven't seen it broken down into 2 parts like that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have got weather tonight right around 69, 70. Maybe we'll see a little bit of humidity. We're at 53% now. Our highs tomorrow about 92, 93, and we are at 89. Now, we do have a 3-car crash. It looks like westbound I-80 at 84 that is blocking the traffic. And, a hit and run. No injuries, Fair Oaks Boulevard and Grant Avenue. We also have a hit and run westbound 50 on Watt Avenue. And another 3-car crash westbound 50 in Watt Avenue as well. Enid Live will continue. You can log into 1320leftchannel.com and email her. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Citizens of the world, want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference.
Make a difference. If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved.
And be sure to bookmark it.
The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Boxcar Bet.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone.
Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, skip the truck. President Bush is down on the ranch, and we all know what that means. Lots of pictures of him in that pickup truck, as if he's going into town to pick up a bale of hay. Okay, we get it. You're a rancher. You're clearing brush. You're a Washington outsider. You're a huge country fan. Unfortunately, that country is Saudi Arabia. New rule. When somebody dies, we shouldn't cut off their head and drill holes into it. Ted Williams belongs in the hall, not the fridge. Cryogenics is one of those technologies that just doesn't work, like the missile defense shield and hair transplants. New rule. It's just a donut. What is up with the Krispy Kreme phenomenon? It's a glob of deep-fried dough, not Super Bowl tickets. Aren't we Americans fat enough without pretending that donuts are hip?
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready, new rule number one. Enough with gay exploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Local and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
5:54 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. I think we have some Harvey Keitel comments that he's making. Do we have some of those, Lisa? I thought we did. We don't. He's saying that there were some inaccuracies, and to me it sounds sort of self-serving because I think it is caused such a firestorm of criticism. But in any event, Madeleine Albright has written a letter to Robert Iger, and let me give you the address again. If you want to weigh in, you can send your mail to Robert Iger at ABC, 500 South Buena Vista Street, Burbank, California, 91521. And the number, if you want to call, is 818-460-7477. I think we do have what's his name? Harvey Keitel. He's in the miniseries. Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah, I had questions about certain events and material I was given in the path to 9/11 that I did raise questions about. Yes, I had some conflicts there.
How was that met?
With discussion, with argument. When I received the script, it said ABC History Project. I took it to be exactly what they presented to me.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's self-serving after the fact. That was Harvey Keitel, and he stars in it here. He appears in it. I do know that there was a project with Scholastic Magazine that this was going to be treated as a kind of history project with kids, and Scholastic is pulled out of it. because it's not accurate. It would have been, you know, you could see the marketing department working, and they want to get as much mileage as they possibly can out of this thing. When they say it's commercial-free, that doesn't mean nobody isn't paying for a $40 million production. It's being paid for. It's just that they're not going to interrupt you with commercials. The commercials will be bracketed before, excuse me, before and after, I would imagine. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And one of you called in to ask, what is the difference between this and 9/11 or the World Trade Center? The whole thing is different. This is meant to, this, first of all, it's on the day of 9/11, so I think it's different. It's meant to seem like it's the truth. It's not, you're not going to a movie where you're looking at what you know is a movie. You know it's going to be a drama. This is different. This purports to be the real thing. And here is a letter from Madeleine Albright. She says she's writing to Robert Iger, who's president and CEO. And here's when you send your letter to ABC, write to Robert Iger. Do what Madeleine Albright did. Send it to Robert Iger, I-G-E-R, president and CEO of the Walt Disney Company, 500 South Buena Vista Street, Burbank, 91521. I understand that ABC is scheduled to broadcast a miniseries, and then she goes on, which purports to portray the events leading to the terror. She said, well, I have requested a copy of the broadcast. I have yet to receive one. See, the critics get them, and they get bicycled. Well, they used to get bicycled around so that the critics can do the reviews on time. I have been informed by some who have been given the right to view the broadcast that the drama depicts scenes that never happened, events that never took place, decisions that were never made, and conversations that never occurred. It asserts as fact things that are not fact. She says, and she goes on to say, for example, one scene apparently portrays me as refusing to support a missile strike against bin Laden without first alerting the Pakistanis. It further asserts that I notified the Pakistanis of the strike over the objections of the military.
Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A cheer goes up on a roadside along the New York-Pennsylvania border as captured convict Ralph Bucky Phillips is driven by in a police car, the driver honking the horn. The man who was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list surrendered peacefully this evening. Barbara Burns of CBS radio affiliate WBEN is at the scene.
Well, after a day-long search, we can finally confirm that Ralph Bucky Phillips, who has been on the run from New York State Police for more than 5 months now, is now finally in the custody of police. Some of the troopers here at this command post started to yell out a lot of screams and cheers, and that's when the media gathered started to figure that something was up.
Over the summer, Phillips allegedly shot three troopers, killing one. So far, there's only one brief comment from a state police spokesman.
How relieved are you?
Very.
An Air Force major who disappeared in the former Soviet Republic of Kyrgyzstan on Tuesday has been found. 33-year-old Jill Metzger says she was kidnapped by three young men and a woman who held her in a rural area. Metzger's father-in-law, Kelly Mayo, got the news in Colorado Springs.
Someone had her. There's certainly their motives were nefarious for whatever reason. I don't know what they were going to do, but either they let her go or she got away, but praise the Lord.
Mayo says he's been told that Metzger was beaten and her head was shaved. She's now at the U.S. Air Base in Bishkek, the capital of Kyrgyzstan. Making its case for invading Iraq, the Bush administration has repeatedly cited links between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. A Senate report released today says there was no such relationship, and Senator Jay Rockefeller, the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, says then-CIA Director George Tenet modified his position on the link.
During the build-up to war, the intelligence community was placed under pressure, Mr. President, to support the administration's position that there was a link between Iraq and al-Qaeda. This is particularly distressing.
Republicans say the report contains nothing new and accuse Democrats of distorting it for political purposes. Arnold Schwarzenegger says he cringed when he heard it. The California governor was taped during a closed-door meeting saying Cubans and Puerto Ricans are all very hot because of their combination of black and Latino blood.
Anyone out there that feels offended by those comments, I just want to say I'm sorry. I apologize, because that was not the intention.
He was speaking specifically about Assemblywoman Bonnie Garcia, who says she doesn't take offense.
I am not mad that he recognizes that I am passionate about the issues, and I am not mad that he allows me to tell him exactly what I think and what's on the minds of people in my community. So again, there is no need to apologize.
Garcia says she often calls herself a hot-blooded Latina. On Wall Street today, the Dow Industrials gained 60 points to close at 11,392. This is CBS News.
Top three reasons I'm man enough to not do this project myself. Number three, I've come to realize I can't do everything, and I'm okay with that. Number two, there is no shame in enjoying the fruits of someone else's labor. And number one, I know who to call.
The Home Depot can get it installed, guaranteed. Like that new floor you've been wanting. It's easy. Just come see us at the store. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers and information on the Home Depot guarantee policy.
Let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mom's making Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please!
A House panel convened in New York City today to hear angry complaints that government failed to protect the health of workers at the World Trade Center site.
I mean, they had to realize people were dying, so to me, that's murder.
Joseph Zadroga's son died from an illness directly related to his work at Ground Zero. James Zadroga was 34. Leah Geronimo never worked in the pit, but she lives and works down here. She says the toxic air made her sick and she needs help.
We demand from the federal government today. Our lives depend on it.
Geronimo says her life has changed forever. Peter Haskell, CBS News, New York.
Former EPA Administrator Christy Whitman says New York City officials were told repeatedly that workers should wear respirators, but the EPA had no power to force them to. The city's health commissioner counters that the federal government was responsible for safety at the site. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Sunday, a new tradition begins.
When you want to take a break from...
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now.
3491320 606. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live as you dash into the arms of the weekend. And it wasn't a full week from, you know, most everybody had Labor Day weekend off, so it was a short week, and it's nice to have the weekend, a short week, and it's nice to have the weekend off. We have more information to give you on places where you can sign a petition to, and you know, apparently conservatives are not happy with this documentary either. We're talking about the 9/11 mockumentary, mockudrama, hackudrama, I don't know what you want to call it, where they took a lot of liberties with the material. It's going to air on 9/11. It's going to air commercial-free. That doesn't mean that nobody's isn't paying for it. Someone's paying for it. It's just that they won't interrupt the program for commercials. There'll be commercials in advance of or afterward. They'll be bracketed. They just won't be during. Somebody's going to be paying the costs. 349-1320, 866-620, 613-20. We stream live, 1320, leftchannel.com. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. And we have some wonderful guests lined up for you next week. Starting on Monday, 9/11, Michael Isikoff from Newsweek magazine is going to be with us, along with David Korn from The Nation magazine. They have co-authored a book called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin Scandal and the Selling of the Iraq War. It is promises to be sort of a blockbuster, so they will be with us Monday at 4, Tuesday at 4. Francine Prose, whose book is going to be on the New York Times bestseller list, not this Sunday, but the Sunday following, has written a new book called Reading Like a Writer, a guide for people who love books and for those who want to write them, which I think many of us like to think that maybe we could write a book. Wednesday, Wayne Slater, longtime reporter for the Dallas Morning News, longtime coverer of Karl Rove, and James Moore have written a book called Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. In that book, it was revealed that Karl Rove's stepfather is gay, and also I understand that Karl Rove has threatened a lawsuit about the book, so they will be joining us on Wednesday at 4. Thursday, Nora Ephron will be joining us. Her book goes to number one on the New York Times bestseller list this weekend, and her new book, a collection of witty essays, I Feel Bad About My Neck, and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. And Monday, September the 18th, 4 o'clock, Edward P. Jones, Pulitzer and National Book Award winning author, his new book, All Aunt Hager's Children. And he himself is a remarkable story, and his writing is even more remarkable. 349-1320 or 866-620-6120. Rocky in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello?
Hi, Rocky.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Excellent. Just wanted to let you know, MoveOn.org is a great source to sign a petition to ABC for that.
Okay, and if we just go to MoveOn.org, I think it's right on the front page, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a two-step process. They make it about as simple as it can be, and it gives you an opportunity to also write a comment regarding you know, why you're petitioning them, why you're signing the petition. MoveOn.org is real great at making it simple.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you has anybody? Do we have a count from anybody as to how many people have been signing this particular petition?
You know, I wish I had more information for you. I wish I could answer that question, but unfortunately, if you become a member, or if you sign on to MoveOn.org, you will constantly get emails to sign petitions and to be involved in things like this. It's how I went to the MoveOn.org house parties. So they're a terrific source for finding out what's going on. But that's how I found out about it, just by signing up by accident. I Googled MoveOn.org online.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the information. I appreciate it.
No problem.
349-1320, 866-620, 613-20. So if you go to MoveOn.org, Or the other way to do it is longer, and it's http://pol.moveon.org/abcdoc/. So, I mean, you know, you're never going to get that down. So just go to moveon.org, and you can go right to it. Russ in Folsom, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
With respect to Arnold, told you so. It's so predictable of him. But let's move on to you.
Yeah, but why? How come Phil isn't making more?
Oh, I know. We always talk about this. I don't know. I'm so mystified. I'm with you. And
you keep thinking Phil's going to win, but you know what? I don't know. These opportunities come knocking at the door, and he
makes nothing of them, and his people will give me nothing. I'm writing a piece for the LA Times right now, and they're just so useless to me. It's unbelievable. I really don't know, Enid. I'm mystified by it all.
Let's go on to the
commercial-free thing. It's not commercial-free. They have used this terminology, which they use occasionally, minimal commercial interruption, which implies to the public this is really significant. And it's a sop to the people who are supporting them. You're 100% right that somebody's paying for it, but they know that they will achieve with their commercials before and after and so forth what they intend.
Well, first of all, the controversy has been so great that the publicity, you know, it's like Katie Couric. You know, this is so interesting. This is the week that Katie Couric made her debut. And what did we have with Katie Couric? An exercise in marketing. What you have is a news-like substance that's about 99.98% news-free. And the same thing, this is a documentary, a mockumentary, a hackumentary that is riddled with errors and falsities, and because Americans are getting dumber, and there's the survey that was done in this coming generation, maybe the first generation in American history dumber than the preceding generation,
well,
if you can believe that. And
I would contend with you on that, but you're absolutely right that they are hoodwinked by all of this, and Katie is simply a talking head, and her debut, I looked at it. I couldn't watch it. I can bring myself to watch it, but I looked at it on the tape. It was deplorable. But let's go on to a couple of other things. When you have academics like Sean Wilentz and Arthur Schlesinger Jr., both of whom I met and know, weighing in and saying as an act of preemption that this is not good, you know you're in dangerous territory. These are fine minds, wonderful people, and they're attempting to preempt on the basis that they know. And I don't know if you're familiar with the rule of 72, and this is not the rule of
Russ,
72.
Russ, there are too many Baroque details for me to absorb and for our audience to absorb. So tell us quickly.
Well, the rule of 72 was devised by the military in Desert Storm the first time. That was if you control and spin the story for 72 hours, it doesn't matter when the truth comes out. People will believe. They live in a world of
people mythology. Watch this. You know, people don't read the newspapers. People
no,
get
they're not
there.
Listening to you. They're not reading the
That's
newspapers.
That's right. And anybody who watches this, and if any of the distortions are not corrected, they're going to believe that this is. They're going to believe that what they have seen
but it only
is the truth.
72 hours, which is remarkable. They will then put that into their mythological worldview, and they will act on that. And as for Scholastic Magazine, this isn't the first time they've done this stuff. They produce teaching guides for the likes of Glory.
Well, they have pulled out of it.
They pulled out only under pressure. But have you read Scholastic Magazine? Do you look at it?
No, I never
see. Well, it's a very, very conservative journal. And they went going way back, and I was writing about this years ago when we did the Missiles of October, where we invented dialogue between the Kennedys and the you know. This stuff is...
All right, here's all I have to say to you, Russ. If this thing runs without correction, or if it runs with the distortion that's being alleged, you are showing it to a population, 25% of whom believe that Elvis lives.
I rest
my case.
You can't underestimate the ignorance of the American public.
Apparently,
you can't do it, Enid.
Apparently not. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Liz in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Enid. I just wanted to give you a website to go to complain about the path to 9/11.
Is that the MoveOn.org website?
No, it's just Google ABC.
Okay.
And go down to the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fine print. And one of the options, I believe, is contact us, and just click on that, and you can just fill in your name and email address, and then there's a space for comments, and it allows you 500 characters, and you can, you know, voice your opinion right there, direct to ABC.
Okay. And there's also the MoveOn.org website where you can sign on to a petition. I don't know if you can voice your opinion, but you can sign on to that petition.
Okay, great.
So thank you very much for that, Liz. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320. 866-620-61320. Also, I want to remind you that our shows are archived on White Rose Society. One word, whiterosesociety.org. We're talking about this controversy. This is ABC News. Variety is reporting that they reported it yesterday, that sources close to ABC, to the network, say that the whole thing could be pulled, but the network is saying that they're going to alter. Today it's being reported that ABC says it will alter some of these scenes. It plans to make minor changes. Washington Post is reporting that ABC plans to make minor changes in its docudrama on the run-up to the 9/11 attacks in response to heated complaints from former Clinton administration officials. Also, conservatives are not happy with it either, and the reviews have not been great. The New York Times reviewer thought it was even-handed, and everybody else thought it was stiff, amateurish, and so on. Dave, in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I had a quick question and then a comment. I was wondering, you know, why you keep giving Katie Couric a hard time about her new job.
Well, you know, I'm delighted that she's got the job, and at $15 million or $16 million, it's probably about $1 million a word because it's like maybe 20 minutes of actual speaking. But I she's doing, you know, good for her. It's not really news, but good for her.
Why is it not news?
Well, you tell me, Dave. Tell me what your point is.
No, you tell me. You've been saying it's not more different than what goes on NBC and on.
Well, is any of that really news, or do you want to read a newspaper and find out how things are? You know, get the real detail on things. A 22 minute newscast that has to do with furry animals and an interview with Tom Friedman and a few other things really doesn't give you much time for the news.
But you keep saying that it's Katie or that there's some sort of flaw in her ability to report or her ability as a
reporter. I think that she's a figure. What they brought her over because the whole thing is about marketing. It's not about news. It's about bringing in, boosting the viewership, because the more you can boost the viewership, the more you can boost the viewership, you're boosting the ratings, and that means you're also boosting the revenues. And that, Dave, is what the game is really all about. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. They want her in there because they think she can bring over an audience. And so for the first several nights, she has. Whether that will continue, we'll see. It's a dying entity, Network News. Steve, in Granite Bay. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I'm just kind of curious. In the last hour, you've mentioned how stupid America's getting, starting with we can't even tie our own shoelaces. And then the guy that was just on...
Is this about the third time you've called today?
No.
Oh, okay. You sound a lot like another guy who called today, but go ahead.
I
can only give you stats, Steve. 25% of Americans believe that Elvis lives. 50% of Americans believe that there's a connection between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein, even when the president says there is none. So what is that telling you about our beloved American colleagues?
It tells me that they have something they believe in, and they can go by the facts and or the newspapers that they're reading.
Wait. What does it tell you? Let me just ask this question again because I couldn't hear your answer. What does it tell you when 25% of us believe that Elvis lives and that 50% of us, up from 36% last year, believe that 9/11 and Saddam Hussein had something to do with each other? Oh, and that 41% of people who graduate from college can't read the instructions on a prescription medicine bottle.
Well, you know how things are pulled, and it depends on how they ask the question, and do they actually get the answer to...
Well, wait. Let's just assume that this is information as... it's been reported this way, so I'm assuming that it's correct. So what you're saying is it's not true. I'm saying, given that this is true, what conclusion can you draw?
Well, I can conclude that if we all know that polls, they can twist the...
the polls twisted, and none of this... Okay, and none of this is true. I get it. All right. Well, there's... You know what? Steve, I got to tell you, that's high intelligence by itself, isn't it? 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Douglas in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Oh, hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I just wanted to wait on this question of even-handedness that the Times guy was talking about. It's this business of balance versus impartiality. It's like if I run into you in my car while drunk and they report that I was drunk and it's not known how drunk you were, that's their idea of balance. And it's just another way of...
Well, wait, how about this idea of balance? There were weapons of mass destruction. Yes, there were. No, there weren't. I mean, the administration said, well, you know, mushroom cloud, Saddam, weapons of mass destruction, and they kind of finessed it into a sentence, and so people got the idea that there was some connection between 9/11, weapons of mass destruction, and Saddam Hussein. There was no connection whatsoever, and no weapons of mass destruction either. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our weather is looking mighty good. Tonight we have lows right around 69-70, though our humidity is about 49 and feeling nice. Tomorrow morning about 92 or 93. Our traffic and southbound 99 is speeding back up again. Garfield Avenue at Bruna, we got a hit and run, no injuries. Northbound 99. Eastbound 50, we have a vehicle in the roadway. And southbound I-5, just north of Twin Cities, which is down there between Elk Grove and Galt. That vehicle actually is a car in the middle of the roadway stopping traffic. Northbound I-5 just north of Sutterville Road, the same thing, and a hit and run. Westbound 50 just east of Sunrise Boulevard. Oh, another hit and run too, as we are the capital of hit and run. Fair Oaks Boulevard and Grant Avenue. Enid Live continues. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Right now at the mattress.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Up the Weasel Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours. until 7, and I didn't think I was going to be yours today, but I am. We have a really stellar lineup of guests next week as well. And what we're talking about is this 9/11 documentary. Monday is 9/11, and some of you want to have the, let me see if I can find it again. It's thinkprogress.org is one place where you can contact ABC, and the other place you can sign a petition is moveon.org. thinkprogress.org/tellABC. So I think some of you have called in about that. 349-1320, 866-620-6120. We are talking about all these eminent historians writing to ABC News, asking them to please correct the 9/11, called Past 9/11. Some of you say, well, why is it that I think Americans are not so bright? Well, I hope I'm not right about that. I know that my audience is a very smart audience. But when I see statistics like 25% of Americans believe that Elvis lives, and 50% in polls that are conducted believe that that 9/11 had something, and Saddam had something to do with each other, and that college graduates can't distinguish between two editorials, they can't compare and contrast, and they can't read the directions on a bottle of medicine, then I've got to think that there's something really odd going on here. And in California, we don't complete college. We complete college in fewer numbers than other states do. And the U.S., people don't graduate in the numbers that they do in other countries. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Mike in Antelope. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Enid. Top of the day to you.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
Thank you.
Couple of things. I wanted to touch on the key drama concerning this next event. And I did signed a petition for moveon.org. Keith Overman, it'll repeat at 10 o'clock tonight with Think Progress. A gentleman named London spoke. Oh, so much information. But basically, on that piece, which is just a bunch of propaganda, nothing short of what the Third Reich was doing, but I also told him that the victims do not need any more controversy concerning it, because a lot of them are still a very sensitive area. And then if I could just put a plug on one of our congressional candidates running in the 3rd District.
Who is that?
Bill Durston.
Oh, yeah. We're always in favor of Bill Durston. And we're supporting Rob Haswell. We're supporting Charlie Brown. And we are supporting Phil Angelides, although I'm not sure he's supporting himself.
Yeah, and he's speaking at Sac State tonight. They have a Progressive Democrats for America, a film series on Ken Lay, which I'm hoping Phil Angelides comes out swinging against Schwarzenegger.
Who's speaking at Sac State tonight?
Bill Durston.
Oh, he is. Okay. Great. All right, Mike, you did him a big favor. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Sharon in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I wanted to comment about the caller who called in about your comments on Americans not being so bright.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that the last statistic I got was that less than 5% of all Americans have a bachelor's degree.
Less than 5%?
That's what I heard.
Where did you see that? I would be surprised about that.
No, that was something I got at University of California.
Really? I wish you would email me that.
Okay.
If you have it.
Now,
if we want to be nitpicky, I'll be the devil's advocate here. Just because you graduated from college doesn't mean you're smart. And just because you didn't doesn't mean you're dumb.
Well, that's correct, but it is some type of number that we can go by.
We can, and there is a piece in today's paper. A report card is showing that California colleges are lagging, that more people graduate from colleges in Japan, Portugal, UK, and it goes on. It's a long list. Even Poland. Poland graduates more people than we do in the U.S. 70. We graduate 70 per, what is it, per 100. And California, of the states, only graduates 58 per 100.
And 70, about 75% of the up-and-coming engineers are from foreign countries.
I can see why.
And so then the other thing I had to say was that most Americans work for somebody else all day and then they come home and watch TV. So somebody's telling them what to do all day long. They're not thinking for themselves. and try to be...
Well, here's my thing about television and all the media, and I would like to exempt myself, but I suppose you could throw me into the stew, too. Everybody, we're all drinking from the same stale trough of ideas. Everybody, in the old days, in the very old days, before television, I think people used to sit around, and they used to talk, and they used to sing, and they used to play the piano, and they used to think good thoughts and tell great stories and read books and do stuff like that. Well, now that and in the early days of television, there was very good drama, very sophisticated stuff on television, because the only people who could afford TV sets were the people who were, upper class, upper income kind of an audience. Well, now everybody's watching the same. Everybody, what do they talk about? Survivor, American Idol. This is what, you know, everybody's watching the same, even though there's a lot of cable, there are a lot of choices, and there's still nothing to watch a lot of the time. So we've kind of devolved into a stale, everybody's dreaming the same stale dream and drinking out of the same stale trough of ideas. We try to do something different here, but I don't know if we are successful or not. We're trying, though.
One thing I might add is that people who study the brain find that the brain waves in the delta region are activated with television. And that is a translation.
Well, I'm not going to go anywhere near the delta then if they're, activated.
Okay,
Sherry, thank you very much.
Bye.
349-1320. Well, there you go. 349-1320, 866, 620, 61320. And in that study, they studied one brain damage, a woman who'd been in a terrible accident, I guess, and they studied her brain. And it was responding. She couldn't respond. She was in what you call a vegetative state. But she was responding, you know, when they gave her commands, think about playing tennis, all the right regions of her brain were firing away as though she really could. So people that we think are kind of out of it or maybe not out of it. Of course, our administration is very out of it, even though they pretend that they're not. Wally in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Wally.
How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I have a comment on about the school situation. School is very much overrated. Me going to college, you know, I went to college 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it was a fun experience. You know, I partied a lot, you know, I did some schooling. But the crazy thing is that, you know, I'm making the same amount of money with guys with masters. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm a foreman for the job, you know, that I do, you know, which is like laying pipe and all that, you know, it's a union job. And at the upper levels, you know, they want a degree. But I knew somebody and worked my way up. And, you know, I look at it like, you know what, I went to college and all that heartache and struggle was for nothing. I went to college and was dead broke, you know.
I want to talk to you about what you're saying, because there's so much to what you're saying. On the one hand, college has been, it doesn't matter whether you learned anything or you didn't, if you have the degree, what it does is it acts like a credential, and it is a gatekeeper, it opens the door. And you really, people, there are very, very many smart people who never went to college, and there are very many dumb people who have lots of degrees. But the idea that college should be a vocational school is, I think, a misreading of what one view of college is. It should be the place where you learn a little of this and a little of that and decide and enrich your life so that you can have some of the tools that you need, develop some of the tools that you need to carry on.
You know what I mean?
Did you get anything out of college besides party hard?
I got something out of college, but it's just overrated. The money, the housing, the whole thing that you put into it. It's a hard struggle, though. It's like torture. And then all of a sudden things.
But you're measuring what you got out of it by how much you're making, and that is one legitimate measure. But did you get any richness out of it? Did you learn anything? Where'd you go to college?
The honest thing, you know, I learned how to communicate with people by going to college, you know what I mean, seeing the different types of people and respecting everyone's mind, you know what I mean? But as far as people, you know, you go online and try to look for jobs everywhere, you got to have some experience and all that. And you know, there's some young people who are very smart, they don't have the experience, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean, it's like the job force is open for people that are past 28 or something. That's the way it feels. You know what I mean? Like a guy.
Wally, where did you go to college?
I went to the University of Nevada.
Okay. And what happened after 3 years? Why didn't you decide to stick it out one more year?
Well, you know, it was just too much. The money, the whole thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, I found myself working just to stay in school, and that got real stressful, you know what I mean? Some days...
Is there a way that you could, now that you're doing so well, is there some way that you can pick up the credits for a year, you know, go to take classes that you like and that are really useful to you, and get that, and since you're 3 years into a four-year, you know, I don't know how many credits short you are, but is there a way for you to do that, or do it online?
Yeah, there is, but you know, my problem is in college, you know, is the math, you know what I mean? I'm not a very... you know, math type of guy, you know what I mean?
Take a major, be an English major. Take a major that doesn't require math.
Yeah, but everything requires math in college. Everything does. There's not, it's just, you have to have a degree of math.
But what are you doing? You're doing foreman work, don't you? Is there math required in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, but you know what I mean? But we have tools and utensils to anything for us. You see what I'm saying? You know, we put the numbers in, and bam, basically the technology does doing everything for you these days. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that type of math is a little bit easier than the X's and Y's and all that you don't even need a lot.
Well, Wally, I don't know what to say other than you brought us some pretty good issues, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So I like the idea. Not everybody should go to college. Not everybody wants to go to college. I think working with your hands, vocational, whatever they call it now, career training, this is a very good thing. This is a wonderful thing to have these kind of skills. My dad was good with his hands. He could fix just about anything. And everybody's got all this highfalutin, sophisticated stuff that nobody knows how to fix, and you can't find anybody to fix it. And if you do find someone to fix it, it costs the earth to do it. So working with your hands is a very honorable way to earn a living. It's being an artisan. It's being an artist. It's being, you know, it's what carpenter, mechanic, fixer of things. This is a good thing. But if you are going to go to college, the idea that college is suddenly now a vocational school has taken a lot of root, but that isn't what college was supposed to be. College was supposed to be the place where you explored this, where you explored that, where you became a better person, where you enriched your intelligence. And now it's all cost-to-benefit ratio. Well, I went to college, I got these loans, I got to make as much money as possible. You know, the whole idea gets perverted. You know, better that mentality, do what you should do and go to a real vocational school instead of turning college into a vocational school. But that's what has happened. And the business that you measure, how well you did in college by how much money you make, is that the right measure? 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left on this fabulous Friday with Lisa West.
Fabulous Friday. Thank God it's Friday, I say. Lows tonight, we're going to see right around 69 highs for the next couple of days and on through the weekend. If you're taking a bike ride, it'll be beautiful. 92, a little breeze, 49% humidity. Our traffic southbound 99 speeding back up there a little bit. Garfield Avenue and at Verna, we have a hit and run. Hit and run at Fair Oaks Boulevard and Grant Avenue. A hit and run westbound 50 at Watt Avenue. It looks like we have another hit and run. Let's see. I know I have another one down here. No, but I do have a defective signal light northbound Sunrise Boulevard at White Rock Road and a three-car crash. It looks like it's at Fair Oaks River Road and 12. That's stopping traffic in South Sac. Enid Live continues on this fabulous Friday at AM 1320, Sacramento's Love Channel.
We may not have solved America's problems yet, but we're working on it on AM 1320,
Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's your right to listen to the left.
I'm taking care of myself, making the decisions that are right for me.
We're informed, prepared, just in case.
We're starting a family, and we're so excited.
I'm using protection.
Definitely. Getting tested, too.
To be sure.
At Planned Parenthood, we are here for you
with high-quality personal care
at an affordable cost.
Take care of yourself.
For a wide range of health information and services, call 1-800-230-PLAN.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemicals. chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Tara. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. There are a bunch of things that we haven't had a chance to get to. Some of the most, in a poll, most Canadians say blame the U.S. for the 9/11 attacks. The majority of Canadians believe that U.S. foreign policy was one of the root causes of the 9/11 attacks. And they are quicker to criticize the U.S. administration's international actions. This is a new poll that has just come out. And also, speaking of polling, there is a polling operation that was polling for Republicans and for Joe Lieberman, and they were making it up. This is interesting because there are many of us here who live and die by this kind of stuff. And also, there are many, you know, polling operations. We quote you polls on this and we quote you polls on that. And guess what? This company was just making it up. So they are under some investigation. Paris Hilton busted on a DUI. She said she just wanted to get an In-N-Out burger. Her grandmother, there is an unauthorized biography coming out, and her grandmother was hitched to a notorious gangland figure. When her daughter, Big Kathy was the grandmother, Little Kathy, fell in love with Paris's dad, Rick Hilton, and so she divorced the husband because she was one of the four husbands. This is Paris's grandmother. The guy later died of a heart attack just before he was due to serve 15 years for counterfeiting, money laundering, and other charges. And apparently, Baron Hilton, who owned the hotel chain, couldn't stand to be around her. So she's got some mafia in her past. And then the Liza Minnelli, you know, you have to have a little celebrity gossip. The Liza Minnelli divorce is turning so horrible. Her horrible, that hideous man that she married, and I don't know why she did, is accusing her of infecting him with a sexually transmitted disease, herpes. Isn't this embarrassing? You marry somebody. And then they can't wait to rat you out because he's trying to get probably a share of her money. I don't know what he's got. But she undoubtedly is in a better position than he is. And so now he's telling the whole world, anyone who will listen, that she was damaged good. Had he known, he would never have married her. We've been talking about more serious things, however. Oh, and Brad Pitt and Angelina will marry. They are not going to get married. They won't be marrying until the restrictions on whom can marry whom are dropped. They will consider tying the knot when everyone else in the country who wants to be married is legally able. Well, that's nice. Okay, that's good. We like that. And talk about an institution with a 50% with a 50% failure rate. Oh, part of all girl, two-thirds of all girl radio here, Lisa and Lauren, believe that Liza Minnelli's husband is actually a woman. Yes. Yes. We're talking about the 9/11, the path to 9/11, the ABC mockumentary, hackumentary, whatever you want to call it, which is scheduled to air on Monday night if it doesn't get pulled. ABC is saying it's going to make some minor changes. Bill Clinton has written. He's displeased. He thinks it's you know, when people... I think ABC... Let me make this clear. They can do whatever they want to do. But there are always consequences for what you do. And many of you are signing online petitions. MoveOn.org has a petition. ThinkProgress.org has a place for you to let your feelings be known. And I don't know who the advertisers are going to be, the sponsors. They're saying that it's commercial-free, but that's not true. There'll be commercials. Because somebody's got to pay for this, and because they can get so much money because of all the controversy and all the publicity. They are loving this. I'm sure they're loving this. So you may have thoughts about that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And we haven't had a lot of time to talk about this story, but the report card on California is not a good one. Oh, here's Rupert Murdoch. I meant to tell you. He is living his he bought a place to live in New York. This is the man who owns Fox News. News Corp is what his company is called, and he's remodeling a big apartment that he bought in New York. So in the meantime, he's living elsewhere. He's renting a place until the renovation is completed at the Trump Tower, and his company's paying for it. And because his company is paying for it, and it's a publicly, I think it's a publicly held company anyway, they have to make this stuff, information public, $50,000 a month. And the utilities are $500. You'd think they'd be more. $50,000 a month. To live at this is what the rent is. $50,000 a month. Yikes. All right, here's the report card that is showing California colleges are lagging. California trails U.S. and many other nations in key categories. The U.S. and more notably, California has fallen behind other nations in educating young adults and can no longer rely on its past reputation to succeed in the global economy. We don't care about education. You know, we pay an awful lot of lip service to education, but here's the truth. Turn down the sound and look at the behavior. We just don't care. We're not encouraging people to read. We just really, I don't think, care. Chris in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Chris. Oop, Chris is gone. Okay, sorry about that. I think that if we cared, there were two stories that I probably should have brought in and didn't think to do it. Both of them are back-to-school stories that ran over the Labor Day weekend. One, I think, in the San Francisco Chronicle Sunday Magazine and one in the New York Times, where these teachers are teaching in really impossible schools and with impossible students who don't care, who have all kinds of issues, who simply can't function in a classroom. And, you know, you're getting them at the ages of 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, it's almost too late. For a lot of these kids, they don't want to be there. They're disruptive. Talking to them is like talking to the wall. And you think, my God, how can you even reach these students? How can you reach these kids? Who did this to these kids at this early age? This is already what they have become. But there's a lot of it. There's a lot of abdication. There's a lot of negligence going on. And the schools are supposed to pick up the slack. And the schools have, you know, are on life support a lot of the time. Tony in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Tony.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that the percentage of college graduates in today's California really doesn't mean that much. It's pretty high. It's I think, closer to 20% of the population, but having taught
in Sacramento, it's about 23% over 25, 23%. The number one city in the country for college graduates is Seattle, with 52.3 or something like that. Number two is San Francisco, and they're very close. And we aren't even on the top, I don't know, 20 or so, but we're at about 23%.
The issue, I think, is critical thinking, logical analysis, the ability to express oneself in writing, to make a meaningful whole of a series of disparate events. And that's something that today's college students aren't being taught at all. I know many high school graduates who far are far more successful at that than many colleges.
Well, that is, oh, and New Orleans was in the 30s. The New Orleans was in the 30 percentage range of people over 25. You were right. And also, there are a lot of people, and we are seeing this in workplaces, and I'll bet you're seeing it in workplaces too, who have degrees from various schools, and they don't know anything. And I don't mean don't know anything in the way of being inexperienced or green, but they don't know the basics, and they can't spell. Thank God for spell check.
That's for sure, and I think that our colleges really aren't rigorous enough.
No, I think a college degree in a lot of colleges today is like a high school diploma was, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's what I think. Tony, I thank you for calling. Excellent point. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, our traffic, a couple hit and runs here in the hit and run capital of California, Fair Oaks Boulevard at Grant Avenue, 3333 Rosemont Drive. We do have, looks like a vehicle in the roadway, a road closure at there's a Ralston fire there, and it is stopping traffic on into Sacramento, South Bend I-5, just north of Yolo. The disabled vehicle is stopping traffic too. Otherwise, it looks pretty good. Tonight, low 69, highs coming up tomorrow around 92, 93. We're at 89. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I'm Scott Forrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk, Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Well, I know you've been waiting for this moment, but here it is. The ban on gay rabbis may be lifted. This will be, well, I can't wait, actually. Key conservative Jewish leaders organizing talks nationwide to tell synagogues that the movement will likely roll back its ban on ordaining openly gay rabbis by year's end. I didn't know there was a ban, and I'm glad that they're going to remove it if there was a ban. So there is a big movement in the conservative movement of Judaism to roll back any ban on gay rabbis. Well, this is good. Now, this is so interesting to me because in the Episcopal Church there are gay bishops and it's caused a huge rift. Certainly it's been an issue in the Catholic Church, but in a different way. And I'll be interested to see what Judaism does with gay rabbis. I really don't think they care too much. It is a non-issue. I really do not care what somebody's sexual orientation is. What I care about is what kind of a person are we dealing with. And here is a study that will come as no surprise to anybody, that the teenage brain lacks empathy. I am... This is the answer to why you were having so much difficulty with your children. If you ever sense that teenagers are not taking your feelings into account, it's probably because they're just incapable of doing so. The area of the brain associated with higher level thinking, empathy, and guilt is underused by teenagers. This is according to a new study. So when considering an action, the teenage prefrontal cortex, located in the front of the brain, doesn't get as much action as adults. And the person who conducted the study says thinking strategies change with age. As you get older, you use more or less the same brain network to make decisions about your actions. But, you know, it's not a physical thing. I think that you're a more empathetic person if you if you've grown up in a certain kind of household, too. I don't think it's just a purely physical thing. You know, a few years ago they found a gene for adultery. A gene, G-E-N-E, not genes, the tight kind. But and here is something we didn't have much of a chance to talk about, but it's worth pondering. In this administration, which is propagandizing everything, and is maybe indirectly involved with the propagandizing of the path to 9/11. Conservatives who are on the payroll, Walmart pays them, has given them through their foundation all kinds of money. And these are the Manhattan Institute, has gotten almost $400,000. Pacific Research Institute for Public Policy, $175,000. American Enterprise Institute, almost $108,000. They get this money, and then they write these favorable op-ed pieces in the newspaper. And it sounds like it's a real think piece, because, oh, look at how highfalutin, how fancy these titles, Manhattan Institute. Oh, yeah, well, they must have developed the atom bomb or something. 349-1320, but they're all being paid off by Walmart. So they have been writing Walmart-friendly op-ed pieces. So everybody is paying off everybody. You go to the concierge stand, you don't know it's been outsourced, and that the various ticket vendors own these or pay for these concierges, so you're not getting the straight story. You go to the doc, and you're hoping that he or she is prescribing the appropriate meds for you, but sometimes they're on the payroll of the drug companies, and sometimes they're on the payroll of the HMOs, and sometimes you're the last person that they're thinking about. And it's sort of like our politicians who are propagandizing. It's like, where is the last, I'm going to say, Enid Live is the last honest place in America, or one of the few. We do try to tell it as honestly as we can. We're not always right, but we really try to, it's opinion, but we try to make it as factually based as possible. Chris in Roseville, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Chris.
Hi, I just want to talk about school in California and college.
Yeah. Are you in college right now?
I was. I'm 23 years old. I went to USC in Southern California for 3 years.
University of Second Chances, yes.
I was. I understand it's traditionally a very right-wing school, but, you know, I just want to talk about when comparing numbers in the U.S. and California specifically with foreign countries, you have to talk about the subsidization of the cost of going to school and how much the government is willing to contribute to education.
Well, that, you know, Lauren was making that point earlier. This administration is taking away money for scholarships, and wages are going nowhere for a lot of people. So how did you pay for going to USC? It's an expensive school.
Well, I come from a working-class family, a single-parent home. My mom never made more than, you know, $35,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
I went to a junior...